Okay.
Now we're on the mic. It's 1:02 on the clock here, and we will reconvene our Board of Equalization at 1:02 on July 20th, 2016. And this is for the purpose of approving or disapproving changes or no changes to the property valuation protest. We'll be reading all of those in, and we also, as I think we have some people here that would like to comment or make some case on their protest, the decision that was made. So I guess I'll ask Patty or anybody else or whatever, do we normally start with some of them, or do you read them all in first? Or
no, I think you would probably want to pull out the ones that have signed in, and you may determine yourself how much time you want to give them as a board to listen to each.
Don showed me the agenda, though, and first thing we have on there we need to do is, because it's first up on the agenda, is approve or disapprove denying a protest that was received after the deadline from Robert Ranke for Tall Eagles LLC. Since that's on the agenda, we probably should handle that one first.
Yeah, that's for our office received it late.
Yeah,
so
we got it. And let's see here. The postmark was July 1, and it had to be postmarked June 30th in order to be accepted in my office.
So this one here you didn't do anything with? No.
We didn't. It's my understanding in the past, I think you've sent out letters indicating that it was filed too late.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't even take it out of Don's office. So.
And this is, did you look at it? Is this where property in Gage County, the guy who lives in, his address is Deschler, but I'm assuming it's a property here in Gage County. Yeah, 31-4-8.
Well, I don't know that there's, I mean, I can, the only thing is I don't know what, I don't think you can take any legal action.
Well, you can't, you know, it was filed late, so by law, you can't consider it. You just have to go on record to reject it because it was filed late.
Okay.
Unfortunately, that's.
Do you want to look at it? Otherwise, we will entertain a motion to not approve, to approve denying the protest.
The letter.
You just reject the protest because it was filed late.
And then there's a process whereby if they call, then there's a process whereby they still.
Well, I suppose. I don't know if they could come to you and appeal that or not. I don't. It's filed late. That's all I know. So
filing dates are jurisdictional, unfortunately, and that's what the legislature
and
says.
And I think in the past, Don has a letter that you've sent out to people in the past.
We haven't really had too many problems with that. So.
We did have, though, last year, the year before, we had the one guy that was sick and had health issues or something.
That was a homestead.
That was a homestead. Okay.
Yeah. That one does have a July 20th date from a cutoff date of June 30th.
Okay. So but this one here, and the postmark is on the letter of July 1st, which is a day too late. So we do need to entertain a motion to approve or disapprove denying that protest. So basically, we need a motion.
There's nothing we can do, even if we, since it's closer, there's nothing we can do on it?
No.
It's jurisdictional.
The statute says it has to be in my office by June 30th, or we can accept a postmark. And I did talk to the Department of Revenue up there on another one that we had come in a different fashion, but when the postmark is after that date,
is a Robert Rink here? No.
Well, and he wouldn't have been notified of anything like a hearing.
Oh, he wouldn't have. Okay.
Anything.
I just thought in case he was and stuff. So, yeah.
Okay, Jerry? Myron, I'd like to make a motion to disapprove protest by Mr. Ranke, with the reasoning for it, late filing.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Jorgen, seconded by Byers. And that this is to disapprove the protest. Although that's worded. Is that fine, Roger?
I didn't see that.
Yes. When did you send that?
To disapprove the protest.
Basically, what you're doing is rejecting the protest file.
Okay.
Because of the late filing.
I'll amend that and say reject the protest then.
Yeah. Reject the protest.
Yeah.
Is that fine with Denny? Okay. That's fine with the motion maker, Jurgens, and the second by Byers. Any more discussion? Vote 5-0 to deny the protest due to a late filing date.
I did send out a letter. We did send him a letter to letting him know that we received it
too
after
late.
The deadline. So he has had one letter letting him know that.
And then, Patty, I guess if you know who they are or what, or we can go ahead and proceed with some of the individuals that are here, because otherwise we read all of these. We have to read each of these with numbers and everything into our records, and we will do that after we basically handle anybody who's here to comment on their protest.
Dwayne Fritzen is signed in first, so he's got, I think, five parcels. Is that right, Dwayne?
Yeah.
Third farmer.
Dwayne, we need you to come up to the mic, and you need to give a name and address for the record.
Dwayne Fritzen, Philly, Nebraska, 14110 East White Road. Go ahead.
Go ahead and make. Well, let's have Patty. Do you want to read them in first?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dwayne Fritzen, 14110 East White Road, Philly. It's parcel 00592100, and it's the northeast quarter except 11.88-acre tract in section 2738, 148.12 acres. And then he has one also, same name, same address, parcel 00167100. It's 2848 southeast quarter. Part of South, it's kind of a lengthy legal, so the parcel ID will identify that. He has another one, 00167-3300, and it's section 2848. Has to do with the northeast corner of the northeast-southwest. Then we have one, 00173-8000, which is the southwest quarter of 3448. And that's 160 acres.
Patty, would you go back and what was the actual acres on the other one? I don't know if I got them all. The first was 148.
148.12.
Yep.
The next one, he didn't write on his protest, so let me look at the card. 1671000 is 160.26 acres. Then there's one that has parcel 00167-3300 has 9.66 acres. And the southwest quarter, which is 00173-8000, is 160. So is that five or is that four?
That's four.
That's four.
Do I have another one?
There are just four, I think.
Is there four? Okay, one, I thought you had five.
The one goes under the same legal.
Okay, gotcha then. Yes, four then. Yep. But was there five parcels on the list?
We have five listed here.
Mm-hmm.
It should be a different number.
One is another little small acreage deal.
5882000.
Was that a rural one or was that a in-town one?
That's a next-to-town one. But it has the same legal description, basically.
Okay, well, if you want to...
Well, it was start on the
You want to start talking about those, and then I'll look for that other one.
It was that one. One thing I wanted to bring to light, I was at Pro Farmer Convention yesterday, and this guy here, all he does is track land sales. It's a magazine. That's his livelihood. But I just wanted to read to you what's taking place. Since the peak in cropland values in the third quarter of 2013, values have declined 20.1% and 12.5% in Iowa and Nebraska, respectively. So basically, he's saying in Nebraska, it was 12.5% drop we've had. And then he also, from June 15th to June 2016, high-quality land sells for $1,500 less per acre on average. dry land cropland is showing a stronger rate of decline from 15 to 25%. And I figured these up, and according to the sale north to Philly the other day, these figures are right in line. Because that, so what you had that one valued at north of Philly, it's off 14%. And so this 12.5% he's got here is right. And yet we continue to get increases every year, and the last market is going down. And this was started in 2013. I know we're 1 year arrear.
Three years.
Okay, three. Well,
we do 3 years of value. Yes.
So anyway, that's enough of that. Okay. I'll start out on this one here. Do you need the legals then of the one I'm talking about, or?
Yeah, we need the number off of there. Yes. The number.
The partial number?
Partial number.
00173800.
Okay.
On this one here, they've got it valued at $3,793 per acre. And there was a farm that sold, it's a half mile east of this one, and a much better farm, very much better. And it brought $3,350.
When did that, when was that?
That sold in 2014.
14.
And it's a level farm. I mean, there's level ground. It brought $3,350, and mine is pasture ground, and it's there's four ground on it. It, and they have it valued at about $3,800. I mean, this is $500 over what the guys are paying for good ground a half mile east of me. So it's just totally out of whack on that one. Now, do I go on through them all, or we take one at a time, or?
Basically, with Lloyd's reports and everything, because he went to Lloyd Dickinson. And if I can read what a lot of his reports say on this, and this is what's a little bit frustrating for taxpayers and even us, is that we're looking at sales that are older. Most of the sales represented by Duane are newer than the assessor's two-year sales study end, cutoff date of 9/30/2015. Therefore, new sales are not a valid example of the 2013 to 2015 market. And so that's basically his recommendation, is no change in valuation, because we do go back from, it's actually, it's a little bit more than two, it's 3 years. And so that's the hard part, because you've got that older year, which is out there where things were selling better, and then you come forward to you're ending our sales study approximately 9/30/15, and we had about 78 sales in that study period, and that's where
014 though.
And we do not throw anything low out. We don't throw anything high out. Everything is a good sale, unless there's like maybe between, you know, a father and a son or something like that. So we use all sales. So one sale doesn't make the market, and that's why we use a 78. I believe there's around 78 in Area 1. What the department does also is they go to Johnson, they go to Pawnee, and they go to Jefferson, and they will actually look at sales that are taking place across county lines. And for some counties, if they do not have enough sales, they will borrow sales from those counties.
And we do that along, is he in those townships?
He's in, you're in Philly, aren't you?
Philly.
Well, you're in Sherman. Sherman's Area 2. So Philly's not. Sherman, you do get the Area 2. Those we probably, what the state did is probably took a few sales from Pawnee. So you are in Area 2, which is lower than the Area 1. And it looks like you have, and I did find that other parcel. You have two in Sherman and that last one, three in Philly. So 182838, which is our three townships that are in Area 2, those are less than the Area 1 market area. And we don't have as many sales down in that area. We have probably approximately 15, so we do borrow sales. I mean, they do that in their analysis up at the state.
Patty, how do you determine like farms? I mean, two farms. Well, this one's just like this one, or how do you make that determination?
Okay, basically what the USDA does is they come out and do the soil samples, and everything's digitized as to a digital number. So you have a class 1 through 4 soil. The digital numbers are used, and then it's broken down into a class 1 through 4. And depending on its use, whether it's dry, irrigated, or pasture, that's what we use. So if you do have a poor farm, it should show up from USDA soil types. Like if your farm is more rocky, or the soil type should put it in a class 3 or 4 soil. Whereas if you have river bottom, that would probably put you in a class 1 or 2 soil.
This farm you said that just sold by you, is it similar use as yours? Is it?
It's a lot better farm.
It's real crop?
You it's said real level, pasture. And it's basically all cropland. Where that mine has quite a bit of pasture on it. There's 30 acres of pasture on mine.
Did you talk to Lloyd about that sale, or was that a sale?
I did mention it to him.
And what did he have a response? I mean, he's using more than one sale, is obviously.
For some reason, he didn't have that one in his folder, wouldn't you know it.
Well, if that was between family members or something, then it can.
No family members, no. 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 So I just felt like, gee whiz, good ground, $3,350. It's a poor farm, actually. They got it at $3,800. It just don't even come close to matching up, you know? So anyway, that's my feeling on that one. I got to move on because 1:30, I've got to leave for FINRA. So. Here's this little parcel by Philly, and they've got it valued at $5,425. And I'd like to see if there's no ground that's brought that, as far as I know, in my area right around Philly. I've never seen a sale that high.
This is the 9-acre parcel?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
5,000 what?
It's valued at $5,424. And as far as to my knowledge, in my armed reach area there's never been a sale that high in my area that I'm aware of. And I'd like to see one if there is.
Now, I'm showing that's valued at a total of $35,480, which is much less than $4,000.
That's your 70% figure down there. The market value is $48,602, is what Lloyd, or you figured it up for me in the office.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I want the 100% figure.
I am.
And that's what they wrote on my sheet here. So.
$5,030 for an acre for your cropland on that one. Is it crop?
Well, then it was wrong here, correct.
$5,030 is what it would sell for. And you have 8.97 of class 2 soil dry land.
And then one thing about that particular one, it's right next to town there. And it was put into lots. And lots in Philly are bringing between, there's 8 lots on here. It's all scoped out. And the lots in Philly are bringing around 500. Well, these are undeveloped, so I figure they'd be worth about 500. I'd done a survey on some, and it averaged $1,000 per lot in Philly. I just figured 8 lots to be equal to what they are in town, that'd be $4,000 if you compare the value of a lot in Philly.
But do you farm this?
I'm farming it to keep the weeds down. But it is divided into, here's the subdivisions on it. And my question is why, just because I'm rural, why my lots are valued so much higher than what lots in town are.
Is there any compensation for when there's a small piece of ground like that, a small acreage?
No, because he's farming, it's a class 2, so that's a good soil. And I'm not using a cell that's right next to him. I'm using 78 cells that are going a lot further out, other than like when he goes down into Sherman. He gets more of a break because that's a different area by the topography and the rocks and everything as you're going down into those three townships. You know, they've talked about market areas in the past. You could draw a line 100 different places, and I don't know if you'd still have it exactly, you know. I think in defense of the values that we have, you know, that third year sale, that older year of sales, I don't think you'd have problems at all getting $5,000 an acre for 2D soil if it's a good farm. You know what I'm
saying?
Well,
there's about, it's a little distorted. There's about 2 acres now. It's gumbo because I had a Beldman driveway up. So
I'm hoping when we see that older year of sales fall off and the new sales come on, that that's going to definitely change. But I don't know.
So anyway, my lots are valued at $6,000 a piece, and in town they're around $1,000. So I guess because I'm a farmer, it's the way it is. that's my point on it. And $5,000, but whatever.
Have you sold any lots off of there?
Well, okay, this took place from the guy that I bought it from, and originally he had that in his mind. That's what he was going to do. But since then, the school closed, and there ain't been a house built in town for probably 15 years, you know.
Okay.
That pretty well took care of this.
Of that.
But my point is, it still was divided into lots.
Yep.
And comparing it to the lots in town, why, it's way overvalued.
If that was taxed as residential lots, or I guess it'd be commercial property then, or residential?
Well, if you subdivide it and used it for lots, what determines the value is when you've platted it out and you've sold your first lot. Otherwise, we consider it a home site, building site, so it would have a site value on it. However, when he's planting, do you have corn or something planted in those 9 acres?
Keep the wheat down.
You have corn. Yeah. So it's considered an ag parcel.
You just let the lot sit there empty.
It's the use of the parcel, so even though he's subdivided, it's...
That's what I wondered.
So anyway, I don't know, just felt... And my next point leads into the same situation. I'm a block from town. Live right on the edge of town there. And I've done some checking on this. The little piece of ground under my house valued at $12,000. I have no water, no sewer, no paved street. And I got some lots in town here. They're around $1,250, $750, $1,500, $1,250. That's in Philly. I picked out 4 lots. Well, I'm a block from town, and I got to furnish my own water and sewer. And they got mine valued at $12,000. And I'm a block. I mean, I just want to be the same as my friends in town.
Basically,
explain the building site.
A block from town. I mean, from these neighbors.
Basically, that's based on sales too. You get into Beatrice, and you'll see lot values like $8,000 to $12,000.
Beatrice, we're in Philly.
I know. But I'm just saying, based on what a lot was sell for in Beatrice, we've got our land values up. There is a map of the state, and you can get a copy of it in my office, of what home sites are across the county lines. And I'm actually a little low compared to some of them. I believe some of them are around 15. They look at the well, the septic, and the acre around the house that has to be valued differently than your raw ag land that gets the discount.
They count that as an acreage then, to get that high value?
You can. I mean, basically what your highest and best use would be, if you were to have 160 acres, is when you split that 3 acres off, that becomes an acreage then. And then your value is at 100%. It's not considered, you know.
What percentage is this at?
The county is at 73% of the market on the median level of value.
I don't know. It just bothers me. I sat there on a little piece of ground a block from town.
But I think he was talking about his building site.
This is the house site, the home site.
Yeah, the home site. That's and 12. How many acres is it listed for on there?
About 1 acre.
1 acre, but all a home site in Gage County is, are they? 000. They're all 12,000
at 100%.
I'll call it a rural home site, right. Not a city.
And that's throughout the county, whether it's a farmstead or acreage.
The acreages could be higher.
Could be higher, but not lower.
Not lower. Not unless the acre's under an acre, because we've had, before you had zoning in place, some of them were sitting on less than an acre, which is a problem for lending. But
well, how do they get by so cheap in town then?
Well, we look at the market, and I don't know that you've seen a lot in Philly.
Philly, it brings, 12, I got 000. Them right here. They got them valued at $1,250, $750, $1,500.
Yeah, do you know of anybody in Philly that sold a lot for $12,000 an acre?
Oh, no, $1,250.
I know, but I mean, It's based on the market. So basically,
well, my market is the same as theirs. I'm in the same. I'm a block from them.
You're a block from them, Dwayne, and I'm not here to argue.
No.
You have more buildings on there than just a house on a lot.
They've got a building site here of 3 acres right on here for that.
Oh, okay.
But your acreage would
be different.
The building
site's on here.
Is there a house on that building site?
The home site is where the house is at.
And that's broken out separately from the house on that?
Uh-huh. And so I'm just comparing mine to the boys in town.
But the thing we don't lose track of here, and it's real easy, Dwayne, is our assessor is talking market. That is a much larger area than just your area where your property sits. And so comparisons are comparisons of sales through that market area, not necessarily next door or even a mile from you. And so the market, as the state makes us value these, is different than what we're talking about. And in Philly, residential, totally different, then go right outside the city limits, and you're in a different market.
Boy, that don't seem right, but that's kind of discrimination, but it's the way it goes. I guess because I'm a farmer, I get tattooed. The only way to get around it is to get annexed into town, huh?
No, you don't want to do that because then you're going to pay for the village rate. Your rates for your tax rates.
And if I was living next door to you out there and I'm not a farmer, I'd still get taxed the same way.
The only thing is, Dwayne, you are
getting... because you're a farmer.
You are getting the discount on the ag land because in, like...
Well, I don't know. It's over what it's worth.
Well, and I understand.
I don't call that a discount.
But, I mean, we do have it down to... You do get a discount on the raw ag. One thing I've talked to people about last year, and I've kept, this is like preaching to the choir, but you need to get to the state. You need to talk to them, a group of people. We started the discussion with Governor Ricketts. They did do some things in the legislature, but until they change these, because I see it getting to be more of a problem as farms start, as things start happening, you might see sales start going down on ag. You're going to see what Lloyd has called no sales, where the people are not taking what they want for it because it's not bringing enough. So, but until we get that 3 year out of the mix or we do something different, I don't know. I mean, we took 6 to Turk last year, and, you know, they didn't change anything. So.
I'll probably hit, I don't know. It depends if what happens here, but.
I'm just. You know, even with the Turk board, because the department looks at me, then the Turk looks at me. I don't know other than to get some things changed with the tax structure, what else to tell.
I've been up there before. I went with Eam Groenewald. That's part of the reason I'm here today on behalf of Eam.
And I went with Eam a lot, too.
I went to his friend on first, I wasn't even going to protest my tax, and then I thought of him, and I said, by golly, Dwayne, I'm doing it for Eam. So that's... I got one left, and I'm out of here. This 80 acres, same deal. It's at $46.73 per acre. And I got sales, same deal, $3,500. And that's just a mile from where mine was, the Jansen sale. And then also the Hofling farm would be close to this too, which is $3,350. And they had me at $46.73 on that. So it isn't even close to what the actual sales are bringing here.
Now, what's the section number of this 80 acres?
Section 17-3-8.
What parcel number?
Parcel number is 00588200.
And we did find that one, so.
And there's two sales that's right close by. They were last year in 2014.
You did what? What did you say, Patty?
There was one I was missing, and we did find it.
That's the one you found. Okay. I thought you said you did change it some. And no, on here it's on the no change one.
But it's kind of interesting. I went through some of these, and you know this 12.5% figure is about how far the county is off.
Patty, if these are...
off of the 100% value, that is.
If we have those values, they are, you know, $1,100 lower. If we're getting those sales, how long until that does start dropping? I mean, we talk about 3 years and it keeps climbing, and we saw stuff starting to drop last year. When do we actually see that valuation start going down then?
Well, I will drop off the oldest year So it would be, that's the problem. We're 3 years, which would be the highest year.
So we have gotten wrong over the last 2 years.
We were 28% increase last year on farm grant.
And see, that's what we're messed up, because it went down 12.5. This guy does. That's from the source that he gets it from, is Farm Credit Service.
Right.
So it's nothing out.
And that's kind of an area of the state, or
this is the whole state.
The whole state, right?
Average,
right?
And we got a bigger drop coming next year. So
I would probably agree with that. I'm not sure we the drops haven't occurred as much as we would have expected by this time.
Right.
And I think we'll see a bigger drop. I think our area, unfortunately, and this year looks to be opposite, but this year it looks like we're getting shorted the rain, and some years we've gotten it, and it's kind of affected things.
So I just wanted to present what I felt's going on out here kind of more than any.
Thank you.
And present to so everybody knows what's happening, that the land is going down, not up. And something's going to have to be done. I don't know. Going to have to go to Lincoln or what the heck. But something, this can't go on this way.
A lot of what you said, Duane, we agree with 100%.
I know you do.
But part of our problem is a lot of this is state statute or whatever. These are state guidelines. So our hands are somewhat tied. I'll just say that, because I can't argue with a lot of your comments one bit.
Yeah.
You make a good case now. You know, Governor Ricketts and other people up there have helped somewhat, but I don't know what will be going forward, and that's where most of this guidelines that they use for setting our valuations, that's where it has to be changed, because we as a county don't get to change it.
Yeah, that's what's wrong.
Yeah.
They need to turn
Get a hold of Senator Baker and visit with him about your story.
Well, I'd like to talk to the governor, but good.
There you go.
Dinner with him one night, he told me.
Huh?
Oh, that was the other
governor. That was
governor.
The other one.
That was the other. Never mind,
him.
Yeah.
But
we did invite him to our assessor's workshop in August, but he declined, so.
That figures.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't
Thanks
know.
For your time,
Duane,
guys.
We will vote on these later if we decide to change them or not. Then you can check with Patty and see if there was a change or no change. And then after that, I'm sure you know, you can appeal them to TURF.
I can appeal and go up to TURF.
Yep. So thank you much.
But I would appreciate your help, guys. It's.
And I think, Duane, you make a good case, and it's one that could be applied to all the farmers in general.
Exactly.
And not individually.
Well, I would say, to make this thing fair, we need a 12.5% cut in the whole county, not just me.
Yeah.
And that's according to this magazine.
Yep.
By golly, it's on target. I've done some counseling on it. It would put us in a...
Well, problem. And I think, and some of those sales are, unfortunately, outside of the time frame of this.
Well, yeah,
And, Duane, going to Turk isn't... going to battle with us either. That doesn't.
No, I'm not mad at you guys. No.
So, I mean, we don't hold that against you going to Turk. We even said last year some. That makes sure we're where we are compared to where the state says we have to be. So there's no animosity there. But
no, I have nothing. I just feel good presenting the case and get it off my mind.
With those 3 years in theory, with that average time, as they go up, it should average that and slow that. The bad thing is, as they go up fast, you don't feel that average when they come down slow.
Yeah, it seemed like when it went up, they were there right away. And now it's coming down.
And they came down. Well, they came down fast. The prices came down fast, but then the taxation doesn't come down that quick.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, Duane.
And I guess the one thing I'd say is, you know, there's been some talk that it needs to be a five-year average, but putting that in place at the high point in time is not good, because it carries it back farther. And, you know, if they're going to do 5 years, they need to wait till it bottoms out or is closer.
Well, but the bad thing is, though, it's going to come back up again, and then if you have the five-year average, then you feel it on the downside again.
Yep.
I don't know if the thing to do is go with a single year and try to put everything together. You'd know better than...
Well, if we had enough sales, you know, that can be done. But usually, like on residential commercial, they use two, and on ag, they use three. So I don't know. I wouldn't really mind. I don't know. It would probably be helpful if they did drop 1 year and maybe use two, but I don't know.
Take a three-year average on my tax statement then, on the amount that I paid.
I'm only valuation. No, I agree with you. I'm too. I agree because this is painful. I mean, it's not, but the problem is until, and it's not blaming the state, it's explaining that that's the way that the laws are done by the legislature. The state interprets what the legislature does and passes that down to the assessor. Yeah. So this goes before I get a report card from this, from the state, then it goes to Turks. I've already had two people looking over what my work already has been.
So if I get up there and prove my point and I pull your hair, you ain't going to be mad at me?
Absolutely not. In fact, start the whole thing going.
That's what I figured.
But it, unfortunately, I think it's...
Somebody's got to do something.
It's got to take more than one.
Thank you, Duane.
Yep, fine. I'll be, who do I call now? When I
call the assessor's office.
Call the assessor's
office. Yep, they will be able to help you.
To hear the result.
Yes. Do you want to vote on them now, or do you want to wait?
Or? Up to you. I can read them into the record. There are no changes. I don't believe any of them changed.
Let's go ahead and vote on them now, while we still have what Duane's comments were fresh in our mind. I think we can do all five together.
Yeah, and I did read that one. That one that I did leave off was the last one that he had, was the 80-acre one. We did find that.
Huh?
Yeah, I read that.
Okay. So you're fine with what you've read in, the value and stuff? Then?
On the...
Or do we need more?
I mean, do I need to do anything more? Do you make a motion?
Well, if we make a motion, if we have somebody to make a motion one way or another, we need to read the five partials in.
Okay.
And the value. I'll just say that. Yep. So I'll look for a motion from the board to leave it at no change or to change them.
Move to leave parcels. Do I need to read the parcel numbers?
Parcel.
No, that's the best one.
Parcel and the dollar amount.
00588200. At $269,520, parcel 00592100, $363,170, parcel 00167100 at $629,000, parcel 00167330 at $35,480, and parcel 00173800 at $432,245 at no change.
Leave all five at no change. Okay, we have a motion for that. We have a second.
Second.
Motion by Tiemann, seconded by Byers. Discussion.
I think unfortunately they have to stay the same because, you know, you've got to treat all the ag land the same and... Yeah. You know, it doesn't appear to be extremely outside of the range or anything like that.
No, Terry, you want to comment?
I would like to vote against it, but I can't. I understand that. So,
I think a lot of us on this board fully understand that there are issues that the state really needs to work on here. And we as a board, though, are just like our assessor's office, because of state statutes and other things, and how they interpret, how the state interprets it, I'll say that. We are kind of bound to leave these at no change.
Roger, what happens if we do vote to change property like this? I'm the same with you. If there's stuff selling $1,100 and more right by them, $1,100 per acre less close by, what if we do say, well, you're wrong, state, and we lower the valuation to where we think it, say we would say it should be closer to market value?
Well, and again, the value has been defined by state statute, by the rules that have been promulgated by the state. If you want to go rogue and just say we're going to throw out the last 3 years in the averaging, you can do more damage to your farming community, even though you think you're helping them, because what goes around comes around. And in the past, and that's, like I say, Patty is following the rules. And what Mr. Fritzen just brought to you was recent changes reflected by recent sales. And again, until the state changes the rules, if you throw that out, the state will basically take you To Turk.
To Turk. And then they raise them back to where they were to start with.
So. Eric, if I don't do my job as the assessor and look at these sales, everything goes into the state, then the state will order me in to Turk for a show cause hearing, and Turk will automatically bump me to the acceptable range.
Right.
So if I decide as the assessor to be political and say, I'm not going to change these, that'd be easy for me, because then I could just say, well, it's the state's fault, it's Turk's fault. But that's not my job. My job is to make
sure. You've got a case out in Red Willow County. I think it's Red Willow, I shouldn't say. But it's out in that neck of the woods. It might be the county that's just to the west of Red Willow, McCook, that basically was doing some of that. But it wasn't just doing that, it was who they were doing it for.
Yeah.
And this is all equalized, whether we like it or we don't.
That's
It's equalized, and that's why if you would say, okay, I'm going to take five of Dwayne's and lower his, I, as the assessor, would have a problem, because then we're not the Board of Equalization any longer. And it's not that I don't agree, but once again, I've asked, and we've talked as the assessor's group. It has to change at the legislature.
And I know you're following the rules. I just wondered what would happen if we didn't follow the state guideline. I know that we don't get to set anything. All we get to do is fall within state guidelines, but it's funny how you don't see the state here ever.
The problem I've always had with this, we're saying this farm's just like this farm, and very rarely are there any two farms the same. Very rarely. We're going by soil types. We're kind of lumping them all together. Yes. But we have to come up with some value, I know, some way to represent some type of value. But very rarely you can say this farm's identical to this farm.
Well, it's like houses, too.
And they're all lumped the same at the same value.
Patty just keeps on finding houses that cost way more than mine to compare to me, too. But.
And the thing with Lloyd this year is he has the sales books, and, I'd like to see what Sally's talking about, because we do have the sales book. Lloyd has even walked some of those properties. Mm-hmm. Farmers take care of properties at different rates, too. I mean, I'm not saying that to be, but a soil type, I'm depending on the USDA to say this is a class 3 or 4 soil, if it is a farm that's worse or... But there is some maintenance.
And Patty, the other flaw to that is those soil types were taken back in 1959.
I know.
That's the other thing that bothers me.
Changed them a few years ago.
Then I'll shut up.
Changed them with somebody sitting in a room.
I mean,
too. Yeah.
We've combined a bunch, and there's people that say these soils aren't right. So
several times you've had people protest because their soil types they feel are not accurate. But there again, that's somewhat out of.
If they bring soil tests from the co-op or wherever, is that something that you use to determine?
That's a different deal. That analyzes the soil to tell what nutrients you have in the ground, not the type of ground it is.
Not the type. Because you may have 160 acres, and according to the soil maps, you might have 34 all over here in a squiggly line that are Wymore or whatever, or Crete, and it'll break that all down. And
And we had 6 of them go to Turk, and you heard some of the ones that I were at Turk, and unfortunately Turk says, I don't want to say don't go to Turk, but they've already looked at me too. So unless you have something that's really going to jump out at you, I don't know. I think the whole thing is we need a committee that really gets after it before a special session or something.
Okay. We have a motion to leave them at no change. Any more discussion? Vote 5-0 in favor of leaving at no change. Okay, next.
It's Lauren Barron, and he's at 1805 William Drive, the address.
We need a name and address and for the record, and if you're representing him, then who you are to or whatever. Okay.
Well, the taxpayer is Lauren Barron. As Patty just said, my name is Jeff Hubka, 508 Court Street, and I'm an attorney here in town. I represent Lauren and his sister on this protest. This is just one single farm, 72 or 75 acres, I think. Some of you may have heard of this. This farm is down in Bardston Township. We had some handouts. The farm is on the east side of the Big Blue River, and the flood last July, the access to the farm was along a lane that bordered the river. That lane has now been narrowed by the last flood to the point where it's passable, possibly in a pickup truck, but it's no longer passable with equipment, farm equipment. And so we're asking for a valuation change based on the access. I should say we met with Mr. Dickinson, and there was an adjustment made for soil types because of some of the erosion and the sand that's been deposited. He did make a change, and we don't have any disagreement with that change with regard to the soil types that are there. And so his recommendation with regard to that deduction, we're not asking for any more than that on behalf of the soil type or the farm itself. He did not take into consideration the lack of access, and we made that case to him, and he declined to take that into consideration for value, and so that's why we're here today. We're not picking on the fact that he agreed to lower at $13,000 based on soil type. Our case today is only based on access, and my office has hired Mr. Keith Krecklow to go look at the farm, get some pictures, and get some description, and so I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Krecklow for a minute to give you guys a little background on how it exactly looks and what there is and isn't there. My goal at the end of the day, if it's possible, and this may not be possible, Patty would probably know, there's going to need to be a road built, and we probably are going to be approaching the county board, or at least the county road department, about a road, but that hasn't happened and hasn't been either looked favorably or disfavorably on. If there were access, then we don't object to the value. If there's no access, then we do object to the value. And so if it were possible, we'd ask that this board today perhaps table this matter until we can get some sort of more definitive answer from the county so that we know where we're going. There's no sense having this fight if we don't need to. But that may not be possible, because I understand there's some time constraints on getting the valuations into the state. But
Jeff, was there an existing county road that was washed out in this time frame, or
no? There is an existing county road to the south, which I believe is Spruce Road, and it comes from the east and goes towards the west, and it dead ends basically into the river. The last mile of it has not been closed by the county, but basically abandoned. Well, recently someone built a cabin on that road, and a part of that has been reopened, and so that road would need to be opened further. The problem is it dead ends into the river before it gets to Mr. Barron's ground, and so there would need to be a jog right at the end across neighboring property to come in from the south on Spruce. Another alternative would be to come from the north on, I think it's 92nd Road, between ground owned by Mr. Lineweber and Mr. Schuler, and that road, or that mile section line, I don't think has ever had a road and may not even be an open county road. And so
the other road you said was a road that was
yes. Yeah, in fact, Mr. Barron is here today, and as a kid he remembers it going through, and in fact as a kid he remembers it did actually jog some to the north towards his place.
Where did it go to then?
Across the river. There used to be
a bridge there.
And obviously that's been washed out a long time ago. But to value the farm without any access, as if it had access, I mean, that's just not realistic.
One thing I'll comment on that, Jeff. We've had similar instances through the county when that river erodes into your property, then you get into Corps engineers and everything else, and that gets real sticky about what they let you do, what they want you to do, and whatever. So, I mean, it's just another issue you'll have to look at.
The good news from this, either of the county accesses would be from the non-river side. So whatever the county chooses to do probably would not affect the river or the Corps of Engineers. But, Mr. Krecklow, if you want to come up and maybe...
Keith, before you come up, just hold on a second. Well, Patty really needs to read this number in. We didn't read the number in and the value. And the change.
Okay, it's Lauren D. Barron, and it's parcel 000272000. Current valuation
183.
Is 183,150. They requested, they didn't list a requested value. Lloyd recounted the acres and gave them some waste, and I think there was some heavy sand deposits on some of the land. Is that right?
He changed the soil because of sand and erosion.
From one,
he went to class four. And he reduced it $13,520.
169,630 is what it is.
169,630.
Yeah. Now come on up, Keith. Thank you. And we need a name and address just from you two, just so, for the record.
So that is the soil condition that has been taken care of.
Now, Keith,
access has not been taken care of.
Keith, we need identify yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
We need a name and address. Sorry.
Keith N. Krecklow, and my address, 2121 High Street, Beatrice, Nebraska.
Thank you.
And I've been in agriculture for 57 years.
Now go ahead. Thanks. Sorry to interrupt you, but go ahead. Yeah.
If you, I think they gave you map, an aerial photograph.
Yep.
The map shows you where we are, Section 2, Barnston Plant, and the farm that we are talking about has a capital B on it. If you lay it so that you have the top of the map to the north, you will see where it lays, and here comes the river down from the north going south, and the only access left for years, they would, if you can see that little building just by the number 00027 and four more O's, they drove down along that fence between the river and the property line to get to the northeast corner of their property. Well, the other day, the owner and I tried to travel down that, and we almost went in the river. The owner of that tells me that the last 2 years has taken 28 feet off of the width from the river bank, which is about 20 feet deep. You no longer can take a combine down along that property line. So we only have, either by airplane or the corner of the quarter section which says Barnston on it. On the north line of the south line of that Barnston quarter is a roadway, township road, designated 66 feet wide. And you can see the going, and that was washed out a couple of years ago, but they have got it open now about across the farmstead where you got, it says washed out on that road down their line. We're asking that access be given control because value of a farm isn't much good if you can't get access. Anybody lost yet?
Nope. How did they plant it? How did they plant the ground?
How did he plant the ground?
Yeah.
Well, you've got
to get access to get to plant it.
Come down along there.
Okay.
But that's not available anymore. This is totally eroded up in here. So the only access left is this right here. This right here, and this is a road. This is a designated road, but we have a little problem right there in the corner. Corner of that section is about
right here,
80 feet in the river.
Corner of that section actually is in the river.
Yep.
It used to come
nope.
This place, you guys come down along here. They've also at one time came along here, but this is washed out so that they're over in that other property.
Yep.
Now, I am told by appraisers that are working this type of situation that there is the law that says you have to have access to a road, to your farm. That's a law.
Right. But you've got to try to get access before the county has to try.
Designated township or county road, it's got to be maintained enough that I can get to my farm.
They have to. Jeff and I talked about this right before dinner. They have to show that they can't get access over either Lineweber's or I think it's Butcher's. Is it Butcher?
Butcher.
Butcher. Okay. Sorry about that. If they can't, or it's so exorbitant, then they can petition the county to help them out. And basically, then we go through a hearing and have to go through that protocol. But he's right on that. But, excuse me, they have to do the petition route if they do that.
This is designated as a road, but this one is not designated as a road.
Well, and we're not quite sure on that South Road what still is designated a road. I mean, obviously, when that bridge was taken out, probably part of that road is vacated.
Yeah. All he's asking for is access. We don't need it for big trucks or anything, just to get farming equipment.
An
adjustment for that little bit of a lip. See right there?
Yeah.
So that would be on the neighbor's property
You are right.
And that is something that needs to be worked out as to what our responsibility is for that. What's the landowner's, what's the county's. Obviously, right now, it limits him to basically one person that he can rent the ground to.
Right. But just as Roger commented, they and Mr. Hupka, can you come back up?
Sure.
Yeah. And you
understands the situation, Keith. I'll maybe handle it from here.
Right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Keith.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
And I think what Jeff and I were talking about is logistics. You know, they have to approach the neighbors to see what it's going to cost to get continued access to this ground. And I don't know, Jeff, I don't know if he's had an opportunity to talk to either Lineweber or Butcher.
He talked to Betcher, and that's Betcher. Probably not an option. Mr. Lineweber's been unavailable. I think he's working out of town on the highway project, but or that's what I've been told. So.
He was out of town. I think he is back in town.
He is, okay. But I guess maybe to get a little bit back on track, this board can't open that road. So, I mean, that's kind of not the deal today.
Yep.
The deal today is valuation, and I guess a couple of alternatives. If it's possible that we can table this while we do approach the county, then maybe we can work something out and the value could remain the same. I guess another option would be, as it sits today, which was the argument, honestly, I made to Mr. Dickinson, as it sits today, there is no access. And the valuation is to be set as of today. And if that's the case, I guess we would ask this body to value it perhaps at half value. I mean, I guess I don't know what the value of a piece of property you cannot get to is, but it would certainly not be favorable row crop values. It might be half of that.
Is it planted right now?
It is planted. The tenant
harvested.
Well, we don't know. I mean, I would guess it would be the tenant that rents this rents the neighbor, and so he can drive across the neighbors to get to this. Yep. But if the tenant would not want to, or if the neighbor that he drives over would say, "Hey, you can farm mine, but you can't go over there," you know, we're existing. There's nothing in writing. We're existing completely at everybody else's good graces. And so as it sits today, there is a valuation issue, and I think this board, and to kind of follow up on the conversation you guys were having earlier, and Mr. Harris can correct me because he knows way more about this than I do, but this board can change the valuation of a piece of property. And if we ask today to have this set at $90,000 pending us getting access, I think that's something this board could grant. And so that's another option. And then once the access is gained, if it's gained, then the county can feel free to raise the value, and we can do all this again next year. Probably you won't have a protest from us, however, because we'll have access to our farm. So that's another option, is to lower the value to match what exists today. And I guess the third option is you can leave it the same, but you're valuing the property incorrectly based on no access.
First, I have a question for Patty. We need to make a decision to go with what was recommended or to change, basically, today.
You have to by the 25th.
By the 25th, and we won't have another meeting before then. So this board will need to make some kind of decision. I just want to make that clear before we go on here.
So then I guess they have the ability to go to Turk, or you resolve the issue between now and... I don't know if it is something that can be resolved.
It's not going to be resolved. The possibility of resolving it that quick are not too good. I'll just say that.
Yep.
The road was washed out last year, or the access lane?
The access lane was washed out in July of last year.
Yeah.
Right.
So then as of January 1st, which is what this value would be based on roughly, that time frame, that road was already washed out.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would just say in that time, have you contacted anyone about a lane or a driveway for access?
I have not. I've only been in this since the protest period. I know that my client, Mr. Barron, has made attempts to talk to Betcher, and those have not been received at all. And so, and with Mr. Lineweber, it's my understanding Mr. Kreklo made an attempt to contact him several weeks ago, and that was not available, but apparently he's back now. So I guess there has been some.
I guess, in my opinion, it's being used the same as it would be if there's a road right to it. Access has not been denied. I do encourage you to continue attempting to gain access from a neighbor.
Or what you're saying is this has the same value as a farm that would have a road running right to it, then?
I guess...
I don't see
it has the same values that did the year before because it's being used identically.
Okay. Well, I will respectfully disagree with that. I mean, to me, in my business, this is an unsaleable piece of property. I mean, this has no value.
I would buy it.
Yeah.
But
at full value? No, I'm cheating.
Well, yeah, I was going to say.
maybe.
You did see, Jeff.
I'm not saying that facetiously.
The county assessor has recommended a small adjustment down to $169,000 from $183,000.
Right, and that's what I addressed earlier. That's based on the sand deposits, and that's a site issue, and we don't have any problem with that. I mean, that's for...
Just wanted to make sure you knew there was a recommendation for a reduction.
Right, and I addressed that earlier on in my comments. The flood actually did substantially more damage, and that's being worked out through that. We're okay with that recommendation as far as it goes, but we would ask this body, obviously we can't table the issue because apparently there's a July 25th deadline, so we would ask this body to reduce the value to $90,000 based on no access at this time, and we would certainly understand that at such time as access is gained, you would have every right to reassess it at full market value at the time.
And I'll just make a quick comment. I mean, they're requesting, or he is requesting $90,000 for this. We can go with what the recommended change was, 169,630, or we can make a different value too. Doesn't have to put necessarily the $90,000 on, and then it's up to them how they want to follow through after that. But we can, this board through conversation, we can determine what, in our opinion, lack of access or the lack of access for this particular property would be.
I believe that's correct.
Well, and as I understand it, this caused the person, the tenant to change that's farming this ground because the prior tenant was coming from the north. And now you've only got one option, which is the adjoining landowner, whoever's farming that.
That's correct. And that obviously kind of hurts your bargaining power.
Yeah, it does hurt your bargaining power.
I guess that's something else. We look at income documents. Did rent go down or up?
I believe it stayed the same, but I don't know that.
Yeah. Okay. But you also have the future going forward, whether it's going to be competitive or not.
Right.
My thought is it needs to stay the same, but the issue does need to get addressed as to who's responsible for what as far as gaining access.
This is the recommendation from our appraiser, yeah. is to take the 160.
Right, but our board can also decide whether or not we feel the recommendation is adequate. Yeah,
absolutely.
And Terry's got a comment.
I just want to make a comment here. I'm going to abstain from this vote. I rent ground through Jeff Hupka, and I don't think it'd be prudent for me to, Roger.
Well, again, this isn't just ground.
Okay.
He's representing a client.
All right.
If you abstain, basically no action can be taken affirmatively on this property.
I see.
We have to have
there isn't, but
he can abstain.
He can abstain. The quorum still be there.
Yeah,
that would affect that.
I just didn't want a conflict.
No. Well, and again, if you have a pecuniary interest in the property, that's the conflict of interest statute. If you do not, I understand you may rent some ground from Mr. Hupka.
That's irrelevant, though.
In my mind, unless it colors your opinion on something, if you're uncomfortable with that, you can still state. But I just point out Mr. Hupka is here representing a client of his.
I was uncomfortable with the relationship I had with Jeff and Jeff representing the client, and that's the only reason.
We did this morning. Eric abstained on his vote, and we only had four people vote in favor of that.
Yeah,
so we still have a quorum
there.
So that won't affect that at all. Okay.
That's entirely up to you.
Right.
Mr. Dickinson did say, too, he came, this is an unusual problem.
This is an unusual problem, yes.
Yep.
He was only focusing on the land.
Right.
The other issue becomes a road issue. So that is different than really kind of the protest. So it's like he said, I don't know what, other than to bring up your arguments about not being able to get to the property.
Well, and it was his recommendation to bring that to this board. I mean, he said, this is all I'm doing. If you want to make a presentation, then now today's the time to do it. And so that's what we're doing. So.
Yeah, and I'll make a quick comment. I mean, I see your viewpoint on that. And on John's, too, this is a matter that's going to be settled going forward. And I know what Keith recommended, but just what he said there, when you're denied access to a piece of property, I don't care how you look at it, that value is not as much as when you have unlimited access to it.
Nope.
I'll just say that.
Well, but you don't have that right now.
He doesn't have. That's my point. He doesn't have unlimited access.
Again, I think Jeff and I will continue to work on this. And Galen.
Our highway department superintendent.
I've spoken with him.
Because the petition needs, and Galen gave me a background too. I think he needs to work through that petition process on 1713. And if that is in fact comes to bear, in other words, he cannot get access through the either property owner or it's exorbitant, as the statute says, then Mr. Hupka can petition this board, and then we'll go through the hearing process on 39-1716.
So
at that point, so we'll have a period of time, and that does track fairly quickly.
Okay.
I mean, because if Jeff would bring a petition to this board, we have to set a hearing no more than 30 days down the road. So, if either through Line Weber or the other property owner becomes untenable, and I don't want to promise anything because the law moves as the law moves, but, I don't think there's not going to be an issue this year to get the harvest out because the same tenant is farming both tracts.
Yeah.
But
unless the other landlord gets mad, but that's not likely. That's not likely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well,
so
the tenant's got that property, too.
Yeah.
So this year, I guess I'll ask this question. Is there an adverse effect as far as farming it this year?
Well, as far as farming it, the only adverse effect would be the remote possibility that the neighbor wouldn't let the tenant cross onto our ground.
Okay.
So that's probably fairly slim, but the adverse effect of farming isn't the standard for what the value of the farm is right now. This board has to set value.
The biggest thing that I see is you've only got one game in town. One person's going to farm this thing.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing. So you're at his mercy.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
although this year that rent evidently is basically the same, so it hasn't affected it this year, but...
But it may. Yeah.
I would totally agree with that.
Yes.
It may, and the owner shouldn't have had to switch tenants because of this. If he wanted to rent it to the guy from previous years, should have that option.
Right.
But I think the access is the issue.
It absolutely is, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we're to the point for entertaining a motion.
Myron, I make a motion to lower the said property to $100,000 if access is gained and this is worked through, goes back to the existing valuation whenever that time comes through. No?
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, you can't do that.
Okay.
No, I understand your reasoning.
Reasoning, yeah, I do too.
Okay, I'll leave the back part off then.
He can make a motion to set whatever value he wants.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, if nobody, they can vote it down. I'll make that motion again. I'd like to set the valuation of $100,000. Period.
Period. We have a motion. Do we have a second? I don't get to make a second. Do we have a second? If not, it dies for lack of second.
No.
Then motion dies for lack of second. Entertain another motion.
I would move the recommended change by the assessor's office from $183,150 to $169,630 be made.
Do we have a second for that?
I'll second that.
Okay. Motion by Byers, second by Hill, to leave the valuation at the recommended change of $169,630. Any more discussion?
I think we need to, well, they need to continue looking for a drive or, you know, a lane
right
there. We're looking if...
That has nothing to do with
it. Well, but it's also discussion, now, Denny. But, okay. I understand what you're saying. It's discussion, and that part of that has been taken up, and I believe Roger and Mr. Hupka have discussed how that will proceed.
We're also looking to make, you know, to see... I really think that's a private issue, and I'm sorry I was going back and forth trying to check some road stuff.
Yeah.
But I think that part's the private issue. The ground does have value. I do see the validity in not having access to it, though.
The motion is to leave the value at the recommended change of $169,630, and that was also the second. Any more discussion? Vote. Two in favor with Hill and Byers in favor. Juergens, Dorn, and Tiemann against. Now, after having done that, then I assume we need to set a valuation. We need to come up with a dollar amount, correct?
I would assume so, right, Roger?
Yeah. Because the motion to leave it at the recommended change failed.
Right.
Now I need a motion to come up with a recommended change. And just because you made a motion earlier, you can change your motion.
I move to set valuation on this piece of property at $140,000 due to lack of access.
Do we have a second? We need two more board members here today, so we don't have to. No. There was a motion made for $140,000. Do we have a second? Otherwise, that'll die too for a lack of a second. So that motion too dies for lack of second. I guess we need to talk a little bit more about what value we're going to come up with, what's acceptable to everybody here.
Sorry,
you know, we voted down the $169,630.
Yep.
So then after that, we need to come up with a value that this board. We do have to vote on a value one way or another.
Well, and the best point when we're throwing these values out, we're just guessing.
I'll agree with
everything
you 100%.
We throw
Denny.
Out there, when we throw 100, we throw 90, we throw 100 and a quarter. The only thing we have that has some basis is what we have. this has some facts behind it. The appraisal is done, and that's what we have to vote on is the facts.
And we did, and that was defeated.
Yeah. Okay.
May I be heard for a minute?
Yes.
In the spirit of compromise, and I think everybody's trying to work together, and I think we all know what needs to be done, I've consulted a little bit with my client, and if the motion was made again for 140 and was seconded, my client would feel that that'd be very fair of this board and be very generous, and he does intend to move forward working towards a lane. So,
I make a motion to set the valuation at $140,000.
Gary, I'll graciously second that.
Okay.
Okay, now we have a motion by Durgins and a second by Thiemann to set the value at $140,000. Any more discussion?
Vote.
Four in favor with Durgins, Hill, Dorn, and Thiemann, and Byers is a no, right? Yours is on too far. There you go. No. And Byers, one against with Byers, no. So.
And yes, if you would keep working with the neighbors to try and gain access, keep in touch with us because there may be some county responsibility, probably is. And we'll certainly work with you.
And there is an option coming in from the north also.
You say there is?
Line Weber's will be
no, there isn't. They got to show that they can't get it privately.
Right.
If you, and they haven't made that show.
Okay.
Right. Yep. We appreciate it. Thank you guys
if
for
you
time.
If you could keep in contact with either Roger's office, Roger himself or his office, or Patty and her office as to how it's proceeding. Appreciate that very much.
You bet. Thank you guys for your consideration.
Okay.
You're entirely welcome, Jeff.
Yes.
Now,
Roger, if they're denied access, then we have responsibility or not?
Well, but they got to be denied access.
Yes. First.
And you got the same tenor. There ain't no denial. That's felonious. The second thing that you have to show is that if both of them flat say no, then basically we come back only in that situation. They have to file a petition. Like I said, they've had since July to resolve that. And, so that, and again, I don't have any problem with what you did, but, you know.
Well, Roger, the only thing that I can see different in that, if the neighbor, Bucci or whatever, says,
right,
you don't cross my ground with his grain. That's the only thing, because that's the only way they got to get out of there. That would be the only thing. If you get along with him, we're all fine.
Well, but that's one. That's the only person they've talked to.
Right.
No,
I mean, he's never said they couldn't.
Yeah.
Well, I understand. But it prevents him from renting to anybody else.
Or to you.
It absolutely prevents him from renting that ground to anybody else other than that farm and that Bucci.
Right.
That's the drawback to me.
That's a.
Is that who's renting it now?
Yeah.
Who's
same guy's it?
No.
Yeah. No, he owns the ground to the east of it.
Betcher's tenant is renting the ground.
Right.
Whoever rents that, rents this now, this year.
Yeah.
John, who farms Lineweber's ground there? Do you know?
I'm not even sure.
Oh, he does.
Oh, Schuler, okay. Because Schuler owns right
and
beside.
I believe that this other ground, I was told that Searcy farms. But I'm not certain about it.
Okay, I didn't have that information.
Holmbeck, I mean. John
Holmbeck, not Searcy. Yeah. John Holmbeck.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay, on to the next one, Patty.
You need me for anything else?
Nope. Thank you. Appreciate you much.
That'd be Len Rye.
Don't get cured here or something.
Yeah.
Better or something.
Appreciate it.
We don't want you. You're sitting in a chair, but we don't want you falling over.
And are you one of the rural one and your commercial?
No, just the commercial one.
Just the commercial, okay.
I have some handouts. Can I?
Okay. Oh, okay.
Thank you.
We got one or
one.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You want to do your deal?
We need Patty to read it in first. And where are you at?
You got to swear me in first, I think.
You have another copy, or otherwise I'll give her mine.
Yeah,
when we're done
I got
here.
Another.
She needs a copy for the record when you hand something out.
Yeah,
thank you.
That's fine.
Patty, if you could, where are we at? And
I didn't think she voted.
Okay, we're on Lynn and Lynn Reif at 2105 Fairway Drive, Beatrix, Nebraska, 68310, parcel 133-29100, lot 18, McConnell Sub, south half of the southwest quarter, 3246. The valuation that went out was $408,545, and the requested valuation was $285,650. This one's a little confusing in that Lynn had talked to Daryl, and Daryl had changed some errors on that. Evidently, he had doubled up on something when he, I don't know if it's concrete or what for sure. Let me see what the... So a second notice went out, and you filed the second protest, right, Lynn? You filed two, and then the second one came out to you, lowering it to 408. Because it once was 488,830, and it went down to 408,545. So there was actually two protests filed in the clerk's
office.
All right,
so Lynn Reif, 2105 Fairway Drive. When I was approached, when I came in the building, that the value had changed again.
And now he, yeah, basically there was some more protests that were filed on storage units. And so there was more protests filed, and so Daryl did kind of a what you would call an equalization amongst storage units, and that building or that value now is at 301,195. So if you're okay with that, or if you want to discuss that further, then there will be a couple valuations going out to other owners increasing their value.
Protested or no?
Okay.
Nope.
But that won't affect this year's or next year's?
Nope. We're sending them out before July 25th, and what will happen is they have 30 days to protest from the time theirs go out.
So Patty, you're saying on this current value now from 408, it will be your current value.
Daryl's recommending 301.
301 what?
301,195.
What was last year's value on it?
Well, I can go through that.
Because he did some changes.
I've got it all right here. Little, to begin with, I think top sheet, purchased property in 1997, $30,000 investment on property. Put some buildings on it, which you can track that through the years. When we went from 120 to 176, we put a 3,000 square foot building on there, additional building, and that bumped the value in $55,000. And 10, or looks like 10, actually 9 it was built, but we put another 3,000 square foot building on there, that bumped it to additional $57,000. So last year's value was $233,715. So like Patty said, originally through 15, this year we added another 3,000 square foot building. So we were reassessed. The original assessment was $488,000. I talked to Daryl. He dropped it to 408. Now there's apparently been some changes. Whatever's happened, now it's down to 301. So I started looking for comparables. A5 Storage up behind Orchlands. Their lot is 200 by 300. That's 6,000 square feet. And it's total concrete. There's not a speck of concrete or building left on that lot. And their value of the property is $66,000, and the buildings is $329,000, and they have 19,000 square feet of building. And that value
was established in 2011 through 2016. So my intentions are thought that's what their value is going to be and for me to use for a comparable. So if I take their total tax value, divide it by their square feet of building, I come up with $20.40 per square foot. If I go back, move down the page, our previous building, the property is smaller, 181 by 241. We're not using all the property. We still have unused property or square feet. We have had 11,000 square feet previously. Total value, like I said on the front page, was $233,000. If you factor that by the 11,000 square feet, I had a value of $21.28. So I was actually paying more per square feet than A5 is paying last year. Now, with Darrell's previous evaluation, before it got dropped to 301, it was at 408. And I'd add 3,000 square feet of building. So I have 408 factored by 14, gave me a square foot price of 29 as opposed to 21. So I requested, factored back, using A5 square feet times my square feet, got me at the 285.65 value. So if you take the last page, if you take U-Store, had a $50,000 land value, and A5 had a $60,000 value, which is a larger lot, you take that $10,000 off of that, that gives them $385,000 value, divide by the square feet, they're actually comparably to my, they're paying $1,998 per square foot. So if you took 14,000 square feet of my property times 1998, you'd come up with $279,720. But I don't know what's come down the road since then. It's been strange that we started 480, 408, 301. You know, that's a big change.
Basically, Darrell's got you at $18 a square foot now, $251,030. Some of the people that have came in, there were some different things that were going on with theirs. They were storage units. However, they had an office space in front. Basically, on an equalization standpoint, plus he looked at some sales analysis. So now he's at $18 a square foot. He did mention that he asked you for rents and also for vacancies.
I talked to my accountant, and he told me that if you hadn't used any previous income factors on other units in the past 2 years, it was perfectly legal for me to compare.
How many square foot do you have now, Lynn?
With the addition, I have 14,000 square feet.
So basically what we did, too, is that Darrell and I went out and we counted the locks, and it looks like you have about 20% vacancy. Is that about right? Because I think there was a 40%.
Mind of that day, there,
I think at first there was a 40% vacancy, that, and I don't know if that was your number or... And then
you can't use that because
he's at,
people are moving out of Beatrice faster than they're moving in. They put their stuff in storage and then they're gone the next day.
Darrell's got $18 a square foot.
That's not right, though, because if you have 14,000 feet now.
Under roof, yes.
So at 301, he's higher than that. divided by 18. Oops, gosh darn it. This calculator isn't the greatest. 195 divided by 14,000 feet.
$6
is pretty good. What? If he's at 301, he's using more than...
It's more than 18.
Yes, he is.
You got to take the land value off of their first
take
name
the value. Land
oh,
out of
I
it.
See. What was he at for land valuation
yeah.
on that?
He's 50,000 on land value.
This is his 250.
No, you don't have to do that.
You have to take this, the land out.
That's not how he came up with it?
I don't know how he came up
that's
with it.
That's what I'm guessing. I don't know either. Patty,
okay,
how do you
so
tell
it's,
us?
That's a, it's still not.
Patty's taking the land value out, and then that's how he's
if,
coming
if you
up.
Take 308 divided by 14,000, what do you come up with? Or 301.
301 divided 195 by 195 divided by. My decimal point doesn't always choose to appear as now.
Basically, if you take, we've got the building valued at 251,030. And did divide it by how many square feet did you say, Lynn?
14.
No, just take, put the whole package together. That's what I've done all the way through.
That's what you've done. Okay.
That's what you did for comparables with the other people's taxes.
Yeah, 1793 for just the building. We take the land out.
Okay, well.
So if you want the land in.
Put the land in and the building divide by 14,000 square feet.
Then you're 2153.
Yeah, that's what I came up with, too.
And that's what I'd been paying in the past.
Is a 2153.
But my competitor is paying $20.40.
What's his year built compared? I mean, is his
what year?
Yeah, are they the same age?
They're older, but
they're. I have that. They started.
Gerald does use the income approach to commercial value.
Right.
So he, and I believe the very first notice that went out, he did have an error on his concrete or his. Whatever he figured. So we did send a corrected notice out.
I don't. Maybe I do have it. Theirs started in 88. And.
As you added on in 2015, is
that
right?
Yeah, but they started in 95 adding on. So we both started adding on about the same time.
You're just
they've added more than I've added.
You're just paved around your current buildings, aren't you?
Pardon me?
You're just paved around your current buildings, and then you have more room to build?
I have more room to build.
And there's only...
And they don't have. So actually, that skews... Their value should be greater because they've used it all up.
If we figure this in at...
In concrete.
If we figure this in at $21.28, which is what you're showing your taxed... At 11,000 square feet, that comes up very close to 300. That comes up to 297,920.
Correct.
Are you happy with that 301 number?
No, because on my detailed last detail page, if you compare it to A5,
at $20.40.
$19.40. Last page.
1998.
And that's figuring property and buildings to actual value.
That's taking moving their property value down to the same as mine. Their back property value is greater, but if you reduce it $10,000, they're paying $19.98. Now, whether you've adjusted their property value, I have no idea, but I would not be happy if that didn't happen.
You weren't able to come to your hearing, right? You didn't talk to Daryl after he... You were out
talked
of town.
Talked to him once.
You were out of town that 7th and 8th when they were hearing him.
But I somebody told me that once you talked to him, that was the end of the road and you had to go come here.
Well, we only heard him for a few days. We didn't hear... We don't hear him all month long. They schedule a couple days and that's...
But I... My comparable is A5. Did you raise their taxes or not? You know.
A5. I don't know that. No.
I can give you the parcel
number. That's not
number.
The one that's going out. I don't. That's A5. It's not. Is Bicor filed one on storage units.
Who?
Bicor.
I don't know.
Vicki Rober.
That would be the one next door to me.
They filed.
They added to theirs at the same time.
He equalized Vicor and that one and possibly Mr. Goosen. Those
well,
are the only ones I know.
Based on my comparable, I should have a value of 14,000 square feet times 1998, which puts me at 279,720 to be comparable with A5. I guess you come up with 21 some change.
2153.
Why should I pay 21 some change when they're paying 19?
You know, and I don't know. I mean, some of these questions would probably be good questions for Daryl, how he came up with what he did. I don't know that.
I understand
I mean, that's
that.
What,
but it's also strange that we went from 488 to 408 to 301.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
Okay. I don't like that either.
That seems ridiculous.
Here's some of the problems. In some of those cards that we pulled, they had been protested and lowered before. On protests, when we looked at some of those.
You lowered A5.
Was that last
year? 5 years ago.
See, and what happens is when you start, what happens sometimes when equalization starts happening is if you lower something and the others don't get lowered, and then you start to have problems as far as equalization. Like, as an example, some acreages got lowered last year. This year I had to bump them up. Again this year, so they started out at a lower figure than even.
That's not correct in this case because.
Well, you mean
mine started in 010 of a value, and you lowered them in 011.
You protested in 09.
We're skating on the same plane.
You protested in 09, which was a long time
ago,
and it was adjusted.
They protested in 011.
So I guess the thing. Daryl made corrections to the listing. He also used what he asked Lynn for vacancies. He asked Lynn for some rents. And I don't know. Then he came up with.
But have you asked A5 for those?
That I don't
figures?
Know.
No,
I
you haven't. You haven't because you haven't changed your value.
I can't speak for Mr. Stannard other than he asked.
If you ask him, then. And you didn't change your value, which you just said you didn't change your value. So
I don't know that we did, because I don't know that A5 protested or that we...
They didn't protest.
The only thing I'm saying is he went out and counted the locks, and he did an income approach. Then he did an equalization approach, because as more protests were filed, we saw some discrepancies in the storage units. So
who came up with the 408 to start with? Is that Daryl?
Based on concrete and based on heat duplication.
Oh, so that was just an
error. That was an error.
Okay.
Error.
Well, that seems more realistic to have an error there.
Lynn got a corrected notice, and so that's...
I guess what I'm saying is A5 today, you didn't change them.
97,920.
You're paying. They're paying 1998. They have total concrete. They've used the total package. I do not have. I've only used about 2/3 of my lot, so the rest of it is not built out and it's not cemented. So I feel that I should be taxed or valued at the same square foot price as A5, and they are at 1998. And if you take 1998 times 14,000 square feet, you come up with 2,000 or 279,000.
I move to move the value on parcel 01332910 to $285,650.
$650, you said?
$285,650.
That's what he requested on this sheet. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
No, second it.
Motion by Tiemann, seconded by Hill. More discussion? Vote. 5-0 in favor.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Patty, I see one more gentleman sitting there yet, so.
Okay.
I'm assuming he's not here to listen to us read him in.
Mr. David Walkie.
Yep.
Hello.
Hello. Just your name and address, yep.
Dave Walkie, 1120 West Elm Road.
Okay, now we're going to have Patty read in, or Patty talk about which one here you're here for, okay?
Okay, David Walkie, 1120 West Elm Road, Beatrice, parcel ID 03027100, okay. In section 3456.7300 of an acre. And the value that we have on it is 187,230, and we recommend no change.
It's number 72 under no change. Okay, go ahead.
I guess part of my reason of being here is to understanding more about how your thinking goes when you look at properties. And I've learned a lot today by listening to the previous gentleman. Sometimes it's science, sometimes it's art, sometimes it's both. But in my particular case, I'd like to ask a question. You mentioned earlier talking to the first gentleman by Philly when you were talking about sizes of acreages, that small acreages under an acre have a difficult time getting bank financing. Is that true?
That's my understanding.
Okay. So why would my acreage that it doesn't reflect the size of acreages that are required always get the maximum increase every year that there's an increase?
Your land's only valued at $8,760.
Well, this is just land and not the house. Right. All right. Well, that's
why is his land valued less?
Because it doesn't have even an acre.
You don't. His is less than an acre. You're saying?
Yes.
Okay. I think I caught that.
See, I learned stuff. I thought that each of the house parcels, even a little homestead, was $12,000.
1 acre, or so we took 8,700 times the 12. I mean, 80, yeah.
How much? That's the scientific.
7.73 times 12.
That's the science of it, I guess.
We're going to pass these around.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you were coming to grab these, Terry.
This has a picture.
Another question that I have is after talking to the Mr. Standard, I believe, I explained to him that my roof had been hail down in 2014, the siding and the guttering. And I had some small issues with some concrete around the driveway. I had pictures that I supplied to him. He noted it. He didn't give me any indication whether that was a factor or not. But my question to you then is, how much does condition play into appraisal values?
Okay, basically with the hailstorm and everything, was it covered by insurance?
Yes, it was.
And did you do the maintenance then to replace the roof and the siding?
No.
Okay, are you going to do that?
We had a discussion. I had a discussion with Mr. Standard about that. We have a philosophy standard here, okay? Part of the deal is you can have a cosmetic damage and you can have leaking damage. My roof is not leaking. If my roof started leaking, I'd be up there with a can of tarp doing something about it right now, and then I'd be calling some roofer. That has not happened yet. So I'm not going to replace that roof until I see something going on, because I know that it is damaged and the insurance company certified it as a total loss. No one has ever come out and looked at it from your office if there was any indication that I was lying or something.
Well, no, we've done – acreages have a tendency to sell for a lot more in the rural area than what some of the in-town properties. Acreages have been a tough call for our – us, because we've had to raise them significantly every year.
Well, I understand it. I talk to people too. But my main question is.
And the board can overrule. I mean, or do.
What?
You know, talking to the board is where, because my appraiser, so this is where you have the opportunity to talk to these guys.
Okay, right. Just another,
so again, my question is what factor does condition have on the ultimate taxation value of my property? Does it figure in right away? Could it figure in?
It's possible.
Maybe? I don't know. You tell me.
What did he tell you when you told him that?
He didn't indicate
the appraisal.
He didn't indicate anything.
I think that's a maintenance thing that if you got tax money for and you're going. When did the hailstorm hit?
It might not be.
2014.
This might be a different house. No,
and it's not leaking yet. Mr. Standard, he was a character. He told me, he said, you know, you sound a lot like my wife. She'd think the same way you did. And I said, well, I wish she was here. We could sit by side by side. She'd like to stretch it out herself.
Now, what I've got going around is pictures of the homes that you've used as comparables to.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. What you requested?
Well, you know, that's a hard thing. I'm sure you guys...
I mean,
guys,
did you put it down on the paper there?
Yes, I did.
What was it?
I believe it's around $160,000.
Oh. Now, you have that? Do you have that, Patty? What he requested?
Did you request... you did...
$159,000
$159,295.
$159,295?
Yes. Okay.
And that's just an estimate on my part. I'm sure there's some give and take on that number, but that's just a number that I happen to come up with, basing it on comparables and sales.
And yeah, I'm not sure. Well, that's the same house.
That's the same house, right. 92, yeah.
Now, I understand that there may be one, I'll be completely honest with you, believe it or not, there was one example of a sale that occurred south of town here around the curve that goes towards Blue Springs that may be too far away. I don't know. But there weren't that many sales that I thought represented this small acreage like mine. For some reason, if I did the calculation right, it went down 18%. I was told by somebody that's very smart that perhaps that was a commercial property. I don't know why. It came up in my acreage search as I guess I typed in, I forget what I typed in, farm, I think, or something, to get acreages to come up. But it may have been a commercial property. It may be a special case I'm not aware of. It looked like a nice ranch house with a detached garage. I don't have the ID right in front of me.
I think you might have been talking about Fitzwaters.
I'm not sure the name. The name.
Yeah, that's a two-story home up here.
Oh, Fitzwaters.
On I-77.
This is south.
Oh, south. I'm sorry. Okay. Because I know you put Fitzwaters, and what you want to try to do is compare likable houses like a ranch style to a ranch style.
Sure, sure, sure. In Mr. Fitzwaters' case, I wasn't trying to pick on him, but once upon a time when I came up here to ask questions about protesting, there was a two-story 1910 house that I was looking at, and I asked some questions about it. The property value, that, just in my own opinion, was kind of high. And the opinion that I got from the assessor's office was those kind of houses are very popular right now. People buy those and fix those up, which is probably true. But at that time, I don't know whether that house was fixed up in on the inside or not. So I'm not really sure if consideration was given to the maybe the conditions or something. But I guess what I'm trying to say is, without rambling on here, is there's science and then there's the other.
What is the other?
The other is opinion.
And this is mass appraisal, and we try to do our best to get it.
Another question that I asked was, I says, well, I'm trying to understand why my house went up 2 years in a row. In 2015, I went up 15%. I was $88.4 a square foot, which I thought, well, maybe that's what things are going. Then much to my surprise this year, I got another increase on top of an increase of 14%. I'm up to $100.75 a square foot. There are a lot of houses out there not too far away from me that I can see that are less, and there are some that are more. Some are a little older, but not that much older, not like 50 years. So we're all in kind of the same boat, but yet some of those houses don't go up at all. There are houses, Wiebe's Dairy area up here. You go down 19th Street, you hit the first curve there. There are houses there, you know, 3 acres or so in size, much bigger acreages than mine. They're 3 acres or so. They live on a nice blacktop road. They don't have any dust. They don't have any dust. The gutters in my, this is just an observation. The dust in my gutters on my house are over an inch thick. And I've cleaned it out, but it reappears all the time. I have lots of dust. They don't. For some reason, their houses, in some cases, just stay stagnant. I suppose the answer to that is without putting words in your mouth, is they were at fair market value 5 years ago. That's pretty good. I guess they've been paying too much for a long time. Now they're about right. I'm not sure how that goes, but I'm just saying I didn't see the increases like mine on a timely basis, like mine. I'm not saying mine was, I don't want to hurt my case here. I don't want to say my house was not right, but gee whiz. I mean, it's on a 0.72 acres. It's going up fast and fast. And not to sound flippant, and, you know, we can all ask funny questions, no one's knocking on my door with a pot of cash saying, I got to have your house because it's an acreage. Now, I hope that happens someday. In fact, if anybody in here sees my property and would like to make me a big offer, I might consider it. But like I told my wife, we have to live somewhere, so we'd probably decline it. But
And some of those same issues keep visiting with Patty in her office, and she'll explain to you why.
To be honest with you, Patty, I couldn't do your job. It's very complicated. I don't want to come across as an angry guy. I'm not angry. I'm not mad at Patty or any of her support staff. Yeah. I tend to get a little wound up. So forgive me for being wound up.
We thank you for coming, and I'll entertain a motion for this property, for Mr. Walkie's property.
Should I leave now so I don't have
to? Nope, you can sure stay. Yep. You don't need to leave.
I'll sit down. I've been here this long. I might as well stay.
Yes.
Can I ask him one question before we make a motion?
You bet.
What was the amount of the roof damage?
Well, according to a guy that came out, it was around close to 12,000. That was replaced in the shingles, the flashing, and all that stuff. Letters, yeah. A little bit more. About close to 2,000. Sure. The guy that gave me the estimate was Gene Rover Construction. But okay. During that time, they were so busy, he couldn't make it there for about 2 months. So after a while, I kind of go, well, I don't know, I kind of like dance.
Well,
the point is, not to shoot myself in the foot. If somebody did come out to my house and wanted to buy it, one of the first things they'd say is, "Look at all this damage. You have to fix that before it's sellable, or you got to lower your price." So one or the other. So. Yep.
Someone ready to make a motion?
I said that's valid.
Yep.
But you got the money to fix the house if you would have chosen to.
Yeah. Yes. And that's true.
Yes. And I'd like to point out to Mr. Byers that if you're thinking that I'm the kind of guy that's going to do a double dip on a hailstorm, I'm not. Not that you were thinking that. But I did get a settlement. I was not happy with that company. There were other damages. There were windows that were busted out and all kinds of things. I was not happy with the company that I was with. So I canceled my policy with them. I went to another policy, which I thought was a really good company because I heard good things about them. And they came out to give me my insurance. They forgot to tell me that they were going to send out an inspector. Well, I wasn't around when that inspection happened, but guess what? He recommended to the company that they reject me because of the damage. Now, this was about like 9 months after this happened, or whenever my renewal for insurance, yep. 6 months later. I didn't know that was going to happen. My person I was working with in turn talked to another company that said, we don't care about that. Okay. So I'm currently insured. But they know all about the damage. They know what it is. So, no, I am not trying to double dip.
No. Somebody want to make a motion?
I would make one, except I never get a second, okay. So it's not even worth it.
Go ahead and make a motion.
I don't remember what I was going to say.
Well, somebody needs to make a motion on what to do with Mr. Walkie's property.
I'll make a motion on parcel number 003027100 to reduce it by 2/3 of the value of the roof damage, or $8,000, to $179,230.
179,230.
Because, well, we'll see if we get a second.
Okay, I need a second.
Does that include the guttering and siding damage?
It's 2/3 of your $12,000.
Okay. That's what his motion is for. We need a second before we go on here, okay? Otherwise, it'll die for lack of
second. Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Hill and a second by Jergens. Now.
And my reasoning is, while he's gotten a settlement from the insurance company, that value is hopefully in his bank account, but it's not in his house.
But that's by choice.
Well, that's by choice, but the value is still not in the house. There's still a roof that's not, you know, shedding water, but doesn't look like it should. And probably some of the flashing has some dents and this and that. And functional, but not
peak. In the years I've bought and sold real estate, if I had somebody that came to my home to buy it and there was that damage, they would want that reduction in the value of the property. And if I told them selling it, I am going to replace the roof, I'm going to replace the gutters, and this is the price that it'll be, then you have an opportunity to sell the property. I think I feel bad about it, but I think Mr. Waltke has made these choices, and I'm sorry, I just don't think it's a good choice. You need to get your property fixed up. You got the money to do it.
May I say one thing in response?
Go ahead, yeah.
My one neighbor up the road, which I have included in the properties
mic.
That...
Up at the mic. We can't hear you. Yeah. We have to be on record.
I'm sorry.
There's a property about three houses away from mine. I don't name names because they're property IDs to me. The person that lives there is a nice gentleman. His property has a bundle of shingles on top of his roof right now. He started shingling and then he stopped for some unknown reason. His property valuation, I believe, is like $84 a square foot, and it hasn't changed for over 3 or 4 years. So he must have made a determination not to fix his roof. And I don't see anybody coming out there and saying, well, I know you didn't fix your roof, but by golly, you sure should. And then what happens? So I'm just saying there are all kinds of cases that you can look at.
Did you bring us those properties with...
I didn't make a lot of copies because I wasn't exactly sure how.
No, it's okay.
But if you asked, and I have a copy here in color of the house I'm referring to.
Okay. You guys go ahead. You want to look at that? You got any more questions or comments, or we're going to vote?
I'm only using his house because it's only about three houses away, and that's probably the house in the neighborhood that is closest to mine that is not in the best of shape.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yep.
Okay. Any more questions or comments? You guys want to look at this quick? Or? If not, everybody ready to vote? Vote. 4 in favor of lowering it to the 179, 230, Jurgens Hill, Dorn, and, no, 3. Let me change theirs. 3 in favor, Jurgens Hill and Dorn, and 2 opposed, Byers-Teeman. So the motion to lower it to 179, 230 stands. Thank you. And before we start reading these, we're going to take a 5-minute break just because we all need a 5-minute break, and then we're going to come back and we got to read them in, and then we're done.
Here's your stuff.
All right.
Thank you.
I'm going to read these at finance. Okay. Finance committee speed.
Mics are on at 3:03. We're back in session here, Board of Equalization, on the clock, and we will start reading into record.
Patty has to be here.
She has to be here. Why? We can read them.
But you're in Board of Equalization, and she has to be at Board of Equalization.
She's not coming back.
She has to, I think.
Yes, she is.
We're going to wait for Patty Milligan to
resist
a minute.
She's got her stuff here, and it'll come back.
Oh, you know.
Well, she wasn't going to read them anyway, probably. We're going to have some of us take turns reading them. Okay.
Here comes Annette.
Okay, Annette, as long as Annette's here, we're ready to go.
We can go.
Come on in, Annette. Do you want to start reading some, or we won't expect Patty to?
Thank you.
But otherwise, some of us sure can. Would you like to?
Thank you. Have to tell me how to do it.
Just put them in your drawer.
They say you can just read across. It doesn't matter. Let's start. Let's start with the no changes. Listed July 20th, 2016.
I wish mine was on no change list. It sure seemed to change.
And we don't need to read the ones in that we just voted on.
Okay, so what, you give the parcel number, the name?
Yeah, give the parcel number, the owner, and the value, and no change.
And read fast.
Yes.
Real fast.
I'm kind of dyslexic once in a while, so...
But you do need to read each parcel number.
Don't get too fast every once in a while.
Here's Patty. Patty can help you, too. But...
I went and took the pain pill.
Okay. Annette will start reading some, and then we will, too, Patty. So, and we're doing the no changes first. We need a motion afterward, after they read, after they read all of them, then we need a motion to approve what they were. Right?
Are you going to go through all of them first?
No, we're going to do the no changes first.
I know, the whole, all of them.
You read all of them?
Vote on those.
Except for the ones that we just voted on. Read it, otherwise all of them, and at the end of that, then we will have a motion to accept the valuations as presented. Okay.
Mark on those.
So go ahead.
Okay. Parcel number 01505800, Roger Aiden, valuation 26,125, no change. Parcel number 01380600, Roger Aiden, 30,550, no change. 0097780000, Roger Aiden, 34,270, no change. 0149300, Roger Aiden, 29,000, no change. 0135900000, Roger Aiden, 27,600, no change. 0003410000, Jason and Michelle Ahula. Right. 139,795, no change.
Wow.
0052650000. This property is actually owned by Wayne Lineweber. Gary Barnard protested it. No change, a value of 667,580. 0052450000. This one's also owned by Wayne Lineweber, protested by Gary Barnard. 795,465, no change. 0024381000, Robert and Kim Barnes, 180,375, no change. 0013000000, Larry and Susan Bergmeier, 162,435, no change. 0001550000, Mark Burrows, 243,940, no change. 0001540000, Mark Burrows, 213,660, no change. 0001520000, Burrows Hereford Farms Incorporated, 1,127,165, no change. 0054780000, Frank Conrad, 343,190, no change. 0027961000, Paul and Deborah Day, 197,305, no change. 0017460000, Kyle Dunce, 96,425, no change. 0017880000, Kyle Dunce, 855,155, no change. 0059071000, James Frerichs, 404,775, no change. 0015890000, James Frerichs, 337,070, no change. 0059060000, James Frerichs, 434,365, no change.
Then go to 26.
Zero zero 0058830000, Linhart Fritzen, 259,800, no change. 0016320000, Linhart Fritzen, 549,455, no change. 0017210000, Linhart Fritzen, 220,205, no change. 0057890000, Lynn Hartfordson, $759,785, no change. 003123000, Scott Hartman, $291,650, no change.
What about
004530000, Maxine Hartwig, $186,240, no change. 001462000. Betty Hayes, trustee, $462,845, no change. 001461000. Betty Hayes, trustee, $449,675. 001465000. Betty Hayes, trustee, $482,790. 003-115-000, Larry Hibbert, Russell Klein, 139,150, no change. 0001275000, Russell Klein, 199,550, no change. 003-941-000, Anita Cruz, 349,290, no change. 002-786-000, Meredith Larkins, 427,940, no change. 009-225-000, Christopher Lyons, 98,125, no change. 015-438-000, Neil Maliki, 254,100, no change. 005-769-000, Sandra Mainz, 225,860, no change. 008-776-000, Helen Morris, 77,270, no change. 009-107-000, Mary Nash, 30,610, no change. 002210000, Mary Olson and George Buss, 2,585, no change.
Oh, that's our next board.
014-684-947, Sean Pettit, 160,115, no change.
Let me read for a second on that.
I can go ahead. Want me to? Or you want?
I'm okay. They didn't do anything.
Okay, good. Go ahead.
Galen and Marcia Rigier, 0044-29000, value 66,905. Galen and Marcia Rigier, 0043-57000, 122,765. Galen and Marcia Regeer, 000736000, 40,470. The next one is Lynn Reif, and this was an agricultural one for him. 0053-45000, 25,265, no change. 0087-75,000, Virgil and Kathleen Rimmers, 83,700, no change. 0007-67000, Jean and Vicki Rober, 165,255, no change. 0133-28000, Jean and Vicki Rober, 198,660, it's a commercial and it's a no change. 0015-66000, Robert H. Schoen, 312,095, no change. 00157200, Robert Schoen, 152565, no change. 00157100, Robert H. Schoen, 182415, no change. 00156-8000, Robert H. Schoen, 91,120, no change. 00363100, Ted Schroeder, 603-365, no change. 00143700, John and Leah Thompson, 271,785, no change. 00239200, Leona Tranick, 259,985, no change. 00239400, Leona Tranick, 176,230, no change. 00239300, Leona Tranick, 125,050, no change. 00240100, Leona Tranick, 7,390, no change. 00818200, Lori K. Moniz Trisler, 112,075, no change. Then we're going to skip Russell Wallman because he indicated when he called my office he did not get a letter. We have copies of the letter, and he may be calling into the board because he's out in the field evidently. So we'll skip Russell's, and we'll go down to Barb J. Weary, which is 00896700, 73,935, no change. Zero 01029651 World Long Power Equipment, KH Beatrice. They did protest, and that sale came through at 420, but it's coming through now, and based on January 1st of 2015 and going backwards, we're recommending no change. It would have been a $300,000 difference, but the sale has not even, I don't know, it hasn't even come through yet, but they did tell Daryl about it, but we're still recommending based on the sales time frame that we do for the others. So I just kind of want to give you an update on that one.
How does this affect in what time frame?
Cut off for residential and commercial, it's 2 years, but it cuts off in 15 about September
30th. This is the new building, though, right?
No.
This is the Husqvarna building.
Do they have title of that yet, though?
No.
So I guess, and that's why
they're protesting it ahead of time, just in case.
No, they it's closed on, but I don't think it's been filed. So, but you can protest anybody's.
Oh, okay, so this isn't them. That's the KH Beatrice. That's why that's on there. Right. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't
understand. We lowered that building from $13 million at one time down to $4 million. Well, slowly.
What was the sale price on that?
$4.2 million.
And, Eric, most of the time, if you protest for somebody else, it's best if you protest a lower valuation. I know you would probably do a higher valuation on some people knowing you can.
Better watch out, Denny. Next year I'm coming. Request a higher.
I just kind of wanted to give you an update on that one because
right here at we have
the same
as the and we should skip Elizabeth Yowie too because Russell might call.
$10 million. One time they're asking.
That's her mother. That's his mother-in-law. So then we'll go to 00255-4000 William J. Zarek. 121,235, no change.
Okay. Need a motion to approve these no changes with the exception of Elizabeth Yowie's and Russell Wallman's, which if he hasn't called in by the time we're close to the end of our meeting, then we will read those in and approve those one way or another then. If he does call in or is able to make it here before we're done reading or other thing, then we'll entertain his comments and stuff. So
I move to approve the no changes as read with the exceptions of Russell Wallman and Elizabeth Yowie.
Is there a second?
Second.
Yeah. Motion by Tiemann, seconded by Juergens. Vote. 5-0 in favor. Okay. We'll set those aside and wait. Now we need the protest and the ones that had changes read in.
00899-4000, Roger Aiden. Wait a second, am I on the wrong one? No, that's
nope,
right.
You're right.
But which one do I read? Current value, 18,260 is what we're going to stay. So I just read this.
Read them all.
Recommended.
He's reading the
I have to read each of the numbers?
Yeah, you read the parcel number.
Yes, I read that first.
Okay.
Current 18260, requested 6,000, recommended 6,500.
Yes.
01357, 2,000, Roger Aiden. Current 13535, requested 5,000, recommended 5,000. 01282, 1,000, Roger Aiden. Current 21320, requested 12,000, recommended 18,265. 01305350, Kenneth Aarons. Current 145645, requested 103880, recommended 104880. 00989900, Gary Barnard for Don Catlin. Current value 78,385, requested 16,000, recommended change 35,570 on a commercial. 01236700, Lorraine Vale, 64,440. Current value requested 55,860, 55,860 recommended. 000272000.
Nope, we did that one.
Oh, sorry.
Yep.
00135500, Aaron Blake. Current 103395, requested 79,000, recommended 79,000. 01212600, William Kaderis. Current 64,765, requested 38,5, recommended 45,380. 00273,4000, Cody Dunn. Current 167,670, requested 149,120, recommended 146,435. 00654,2101, E-Energy Adams. Current $33,018,360, requested $32,336,105, recommended $32,361,155, industrial. 00466,3101, Brent Engelman. Current $263,635, requested $238,600, recommended $239,550. 01157,1000, Brent Essink. Current 174,120, requested 82,000, recommended 118,000. 01233,8000, Dwayne and Patricia Evans, 50,915 current, requested 40,500, recommended 40,500. 01429,3000, Derek Fletcher, current 51,130, requested 29,5, recommended 29,5. 01333,2000, Goosen Construction, current 709,980, requested 284,500, recommended 298,730, commercial.
Stop right there. What was the big discrepancy there, Patty?
Yeah. Why? $407,000 drop.
Is there land value in the floodplain? And, huge. That was a change.
Or
you want to skip that one?
We'll visit about that at the end. Go ahead and finish reading.
I want to visit about E-Energy a little bit, too.
Okay, those two. Let's visit about those at the end. Go ahead.
All right. 00375,4300, Sam Grimes, current 113,195, no request, recommended 108,815. 00312,0000, Larry Hibbert. 543,860 current, requested 523,400, 429,555 recommended.
That was agriculture and it was lowered that hard. What was the reasoning there?
Mm-hmm. Larry Hibbert?
Yeah.
We had to recount the acres on that.
Yeah, he had less dry land.
Less dry land.
He brought in a map and he had less dry land, so it was
more dry land.
More pasture.
Incorrect.
Yeah.
Okay.
More pasture.
All right.
00338,9100, Jim Jameson, 186,065 current, requested 87,000, 146,435 recommended. 00347,2000, KNS Properties, owned by Kirk Miller, current 63,755, requested 63,355. Recommended 63,355.
We had a $400 protest.
Amazing.
I did it. We didn't pay a person to do it.
01449,2000. Lauren Kelly, 43,320 current, requested 27,000, recommended 28,080. 00662-2000, Russell Klein, 13.5 current, requested 3,500, recommended 4,500. 00525-9100, Dale Lenzenmeyer, 576-620, no request, recommended 572-585, agriculture. 01431-3000, Derek Manchester, 114,560 current, 82,000 requested, 105,500 recommended. 01352-7001, March Car Wash, current 225,675 requested, 186,492 recommended, 206,000. 00123-9000, Oren and Carol Dean Miller, 305,535 current, requested 281,655, 303,745 recommended. 00124-0000, Oren and Carradine Miller, 355,850 current, request 327,920, 354,580 recommended. 00805,1200, Roland Otto, 45,270 current, 16,557 requested, 27,200 recommended. 00552-5000, Corey Pyle, current 41,595, requested 12,000, 22,140 recommended. 00442-8000, Galen Amarcia Regeer, 259,375 current, 192,950 requested, 252,975 recommended. 00443-0000, Galen Amarcia Regeer, current 133,905 requested, 83,565 121,105 recommended. 01332-9100, Lynn and Lynn Rife, 408,5. Oh, we already did that one.
Did that one?
Yes.
00840-7000, Ken and Mary Lou Retchlist, 84,605 current request, 72,675 74,090 recommended. 01094-6000, Brent and Kristen Ruiz, 128,205 current request, 90,310 110,000 recommended. 00003330, Lauren Ruskamp, current 273,485 requested, 228,830 228,830 recommended. 0774-1000, Ron Rule, current 95,260, no request, 82,700 recommended. 01483-1000, Cammy Sadoff, 399,685 current, requested 323,840, 304,000 recommended. 00193-7000, Joanne Shale, current 199,415, requested 184,720. Recommended 200,815.
They can go up.
Can go up.
00193-7100, Joanne Shale, 512,470 current, 464,790 requested, 511,070 recommended. 00799-8000, Jean Schoen, current 83,970 requested, 26,300, 44,700 recommended. 00156-5000, Robert Schoen, current 364,030, requested 341,830, 362,395 recommended. 00082-3300, James Spilker, current 70,035, requested 35,500, 37,000 recommended. 00290-5000, Judy Steffen, current 72,035, request 67,950, 67,950 recommended. 00055,7100, Mike and Ruth Steffens, 268,090 current, requested 250,954, 250,955 recommended. 01337-9000, Vicar Development, current 40,375, requested 24,125, recommended 24,125. 01332-8200, Vicar Development, current 258,525, requested 211,932, 216,645, recommended. 00459-8100, William L. and Karen K. Weston, current 228,050. Requested 191,816, 148,395, recommended 00466,8000. William and Karen Weston, current 361,055, requested 340,982, 323,910, recommended. Larry Wolken, 012,444,000, current 77,065, requested 45,000, recommended 46,740. 011463000. Larry Wolken, current 33,055. Requested 28,000, recommended 28,000. 000158000. James C. Young, current 275,955. Requested 228,190. 228,580, recommended for commercial. And back to the energy and.
Okay, it looks like on this. Goosens, that building was built September 15? Is anybody familiar with this building? It looks
It's the one on West Court, if I'd have to guess.
I think that he's probably putting it back down to not completely done as of January 1st of 16, a partial, after talking to Troy. That's what he wrote.
What's not done with it?
Was it done January 1st of 16?
Well, what was the value like a year ago on that property then?
I thought it was done in 15 already.
96,810.
So he went from 96 to
15 already, I thought. Someone just off of Highway 136.
And it looks like he's rolled it back on a partial instead of a full completion. Okay. Otherwise, that's a big.
But they meant just with Daryl, you're saying, though.
Yeah, because he's got 50%. So what he measured it in 913 of 15. So, and I don't know whether everything was complete at that time, because it looks to me like when he puts a functional or a depreciation on it, it looks like maybe not all of it was complete as of January 1st of 16.
All right.
Of 16 or of 15?
I just wondered why the big discrepancy. That's my only
I know. Thing. I looked too, because that's. But see,
okay.
He didn't measure
all right.
Until 15.
Thank you.
End of 15.
This is Dawn.
I think we have Russell maybe on the phone here.
Yes, okay. Hang on just a second. Okay.
As ready? Much money as we yep. spend on computers and police cars, you'd think we'd have a speakerphone in here.
We have Russell. Okay.
Okay, Russell, I have you on speakerphone. The board is in session right now.
Okay. Hi, my name is Russell Wallman. I could not make it in today. I didn't realize when I visited with Lloyd, he told me he was going to give me a call and let me know by the 20th, so I didn't realize the hearing was today. But anyway, a couple of things on my protest I wanted to bring out on that I visited with Lloyd about is that on the Nebraska statues, I mean, they showed me, I'm not real prepared because I just got in the house, but they showed me the list of comparable soils with soil maps, or not soil maps, soils, different areas. And the classifications. And I pulled up the statues. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the statues, but it's statue 77, 1371. And the statues are very clear that you use similar properties that are used for years. The first line of the statues say comparable sales are recent sales of properties that are similar to the property being assessed in significant physical, functional, and location characteristics in contribution to their value. So I went through and did all the sales. If you take all the sales of the last 3 years, I came up with 49 sales. I took the high and the low out. So that's 47 sales that they used, and I come up with an average of 41.90 per acre. All the ones I'm protesting are 5,500 to 4,800, probably one's 4,700. Now, a lot of these sales that I used should have been kicked out, because if any of you are familiar with this, and if you should go online, because there's 14 guidelines that are used. The first number one is whether the sale was financed by the seller or any special financing considerations. Well, I know at least five or six of these sales that were FHA financed, and that's a special financing consideration because these younger farmers can get 40-year fixed rate at 2 to 3% interest. So that automatically, those sales should be kicked out. A lot of those sales are the higher ones. And number three on the guidelines is, I'll just read the important parts, whether a premium was paid to acquire the property. A premium may be paid with proximity or tax consequences cause the buyer to pay more. Well, situations like 1031s or renting out the rest of the farm, renting out the farm ground, or if it's right next to you, it says the statute is very clear, those shouldn't be used. And then the one I'm really upset about is that I bought a farm from my father-in-law in 2013. I paid $3,500 an acre for it, and it was him and his sister, and they're the ones that decided it wasn't a very good farm, and it should not bring high dollar. It won't, because it's got a lot of terraces on it. I paid $3,500, which we both felt was the market value, and they won't let me use that. And now that farm today, 2 years later, is valued at $4,800. And there is no way that should be valued that high. And number five on the statute says whether sales between family members within the third degree of consanguinity, which means blood, include considerations that fail to reflect current market value. Well, I was told if it was a family member, it was automatically kicked out. Well, according to the statute, that's not right, because if it does reflect current market value, which that farm does, it should be used as a comparable sale. So automatically, that farm is way overvalued. Some other things that on these statutes, it says whether sales of undivided interest in real property or parcels less than 40 acres or sales conveying only a portion of the unit reflect current market value. Well, that would be a farm if somebody bought an 80 and got to rent the other 80. So that should be, those sales need to be kicked out. The statutes are very clear as to what is and not a comparable sale. To make a long story short, and there's a lot of these. There's one on irrigation. If there is a irrigation in the area, it says this subdivision shall not be used to determine it constitutes a comparable sale, because you can't use that because that might have got inflated because of the possibility of water, maybe across the road. Or I know one sale they called me about because they thought it was irrigation potential, and I said I wasn't interested, but I know that's how they were selling the farm as irrigation potential. But anyway, the ones I went through mine, and I did a lot of research, and I went over this with Lloyd. I found eight farms that were very, very close to what my farms, as far as acres of dry land, locations, and they were just similar farms, that, and I could find eight, which is a pretty good number, I felt. And I come up with like 3775 was the comparisons on those sales. And that's the way it's supposed to be done as far as how I read the statutes. Now, if I'm wrong, somebody needs to tell me. But I don't understand how we can use $6,800 an acre land in an area, Class 1 soils, and use that as a comparison to what I used. But, I mean, Lloyd and I visited with it quite a while. I'm not sure. I gave him a lot of information. I told him I wanted to be there when he went over that, but obviously they said they're not going to change my values any. But I do think if my values aren't changed, we need to do more research on this and see what actually is. I know we've got ground in Johnson County, and they list all the sales and give you the sales and show you how they came up with it. And our farm in Johnson County went down $700-$800 an acre. Or in Gage County, most of ours went up at least, I think, 8 to 10%, which I know we have to go back to the sales, but we need to use the correct sales and pick out the ones that should be used for your farm. That's the way it should be done, according to the statutes. I'm frustrated with it, and I mean, I spent time doing this, and it really didn't take a ton of time. I mean, I think the assessor's office could do a better job of coming up with the ones that should be used. And if they need help, they need to call the farmer in. But anyway, that's my argument. If anybody has any questions, I'd be more than happy to try to answer them.
Russ, this is Myron Dorn here. And I want Patty to explain. There was a comment wrote on there about the fact of that this is the way the state. Patty, you go ahead and read that comment on.
You might have to.
It says, this is Lloyd Dickinson's comments.
This is Lloyd's comments, okay? And maybe you got a copy of this. I'm not sure.
I didn't get a copy of anything.
Until we come to the board. Okay. While the appraiser recognizes law may be interpreted differently, the assessor is following the laws directed by the property tax administrator and is subject to 3 audits for review by the Property Assessment Division. So it's pretty hard for us to throw any sales out. Based on what we know, family is not considered an arm's-length transaction. We send all our sales into the state of Nebraska, and we try to verify as many as we can with the buyer and the seller if they give us information. But every sale is considered good unless it's, like I said, between family members. And, I'd have to look at the part of the law that you're reading from. But we do have to use the 3-year, so we have 78 sales in Area 1. And the biggest problem that we're having is your oldest year of sales, which is about 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago. Those sales were still high. Now we're starting to see it stabilize, but we still haven't seen it break yet. So that's some of the issues.
You're telling me that the first guideline with the special financing considerations and the family thing aren't even something that we should look at in the statute? Is that what you're telling me?
Basically, what I'm saying is if it's my office and it's between family members, we send that sale up to the state as not an arm's length transaction.
So who in the state besides that?
It'd be Ruth Sorensen, or she's the tax commissioner, and then it goes to a tax equalization and review commission, and that's where you can file if you're not happy with your values here at the county level. Then you can go to the tax equalization and review commission. We had 6 of them go last year. 2 from the county took up about 3 parcels each, and honestly, I've talk to a lot of farm people, and the biggest thing concern we have is you need to talk to your legislature, which is Roy Baker, the state senator, and also Governor Ricketts. They talked at length about things with tax relief and tax structure, but they didn't get anything done last year, or at least not much. So,
well, I understand that, but I just don't understand how this. Can you explain to me when the first line says comparable sales are recent sales of properties that are similar to the property being assessed? How much clearer can it get? You find properties that are similar to yours in your area, and that's the one you should be assessed by. I should not get assessed a farm that brings $6,000 with irrigation across the road, the kid got special financing, and I should be assessed the same value that farm that's 10 miles away from my farm that doesn't have any of that on it. I don't understand how someone in Lincoln, as an assessor, isn't this what you should do, is look at that and say, okay, that farm should not be used as a value for the other farm. I can find 10 of those, I bet, in these sales that should not be used. And, that's not an arm's length transaction either as far as legality of it, I don't think. I don't quite understand. So Lloyd kept saying, well, Lincoln's telling her not to do this. Well, where is this Lincoln? Who is this Lincoln that's telling you? Are they telling you you have to use the formula you're using? Is the formula you have to use? Is that what they're telling you?
Yes, because there's 93 counties that have to be on the same page when they're doing valuation. And based on sales, that's what we have to use. Now, what I'm saying is, if you're talking about a farm, when Lloyd, did he explain when he does appraisals on those, like fee appraisals? Does he appraise it less because of special financing?
Well, he didn't even know about that. He was the one who never thought about that.
You appraise it at its highest and best use, and I don't know that.
Are we using Lloyd's expertise as the whole thing. He had never read these statutes, he told me. I've never read these. That's the first time I've seen this.
I don't know.
I'm confused as to why we are getting, you know, like my mother-in-law has a farm that's $5,500 an acre. And I understand some of that other farms from 3 years ago, but some of those farms shouldn't be used. I mean, if you take some of those out, you actually use the farms that are similar to hers, it's not going to be $5,500. It's a lot more fair. And it says how to be fair to each. It's the way it is. I don't think it's fair for me to pay taxes on a farm of $4,800 when I just paid $3,500. That's market value, even if it's a family member or not. And the statute says current market value. I don't know. We can argue about this all day, but
Okay, I'm not an appraiser, I'm the assessor, but Lloyd is a certified appraiser, and he does what they call fee appraisal, which is he'll go out and find the subject property, and then he'll look for three comparables or three sales of farms to determine what's your highest value. Like, say, if you need to go to a bank and borrow money or wherever you get your financing from, he'll do an appraisal on that. That's fee appraisal. What the county assessor does or is responsible for is mass appraisal. And so we have to make sure that the soil type on your farm, if it's similar to the soil type on the next guy's farm, they're getting value the same. And we look at sales to do that. So it's complicated.
I did that. I found eight farms and I come up with $3,775. And somehow you guys just used your formula. You told me you put it on, or somebody else said they just put it on a spreadsheet and went with that, and the spreadsheet told them what to do. I'm like, well, I mean, if you average all of the comparisons up on yours, it's only $4,200 on an average. I mean, if we're going to do averages.
Okay, we don't do averages. We do median level of value, which is different. We don't add everything together and divide it by the number of sales. We do median level of value in. That's another whole description of how the highs go in, the lows go in, and the ones that are right on go in. So if you look in statute, too, you will find that every sale is determined arm's length and a good sale unless you can get the buyer and seller to talk to you and indicate that it's not. And in your case, being it is family member, you know, I guess I don't know what that law reads. I mean, if it's first cousin, mother, father, you know, I have to son, I don't
within
know.
Within third degree.
I mean, but it's still a family sale, so.
That fail to reflect current market value. So as an assessor, you should consider it. Does that fail to meet current market value? Now, you tell me $3,500, did that fail to meet current market value? Now, if it was $2,000, yeah, that I can see that.
And
so
I can.
The way this statute reads, you can say, okay, that does reflect current market value. We're going to use that as a comparable sale.
But we
that's
do
the way
have
I
some.
I read it. I don't know if I'm wrong, correct me, but I think that's the way I read the statute.
Well, and you might want to talk to Lincoln, because what they do is they come down and they audit my records and they go over what I have to pass the test with them as to be between 69% to 75% of market value. So the first person that looks at it is the tax commissioner, which is Ruth Sorensen.
Who is the person I talked to in Lincoln?
And then what she does is...
Who is the person? Who does he contact? Department of Revenue, Ruth Sorensen's office?
Property tax. Yeah, it's Property Assessment Division.
There you go.
Ruth Sorensen?
Yeah, she's the tax commissioner.
Okay. Now, is he the person that comes down and audits you?
She has liaisons, which are people that are assigned to every county in the 93 counties. And then she makes a reports and opinions to the Tax Equalization and Review Commission, which is the highest level before you go to court. And they determine whether every county is in compliance with their ag, with their residential, and with their commercial. And if I wouldn't be in compliance on my ag land, then they'll call me in and order an increase of a certain amount on my properties. So, and, you know, she can, if you email her, if you talk to her, she's a good one to talk to.
Ruth Sorensen.
R-U-T-H. Ruth Sorensen.
I'm sorry.
And actually, Russ Lunger was my liaison. He's not any longer, but he could give you.
Okay.
She'll probably pass it on to a liaison for her to, for them to, you know. But I know it's complicated, but you know.
Well, I really don't. I mean, I think they're making it way more complicated, or whoever. It really isn't that complicated. I mean, I probably spent a day doing research on the internet and came up with comparisons according to the statutes. I mean, it wasn't fun. I didn't enjoy it, but it isn't like. I mean, that's what we hire people to do. I don't know. I guess maybe I need to visit with them, and maybe I mean, the statutes are pretty clear. I think it doesn't say. Well, the way you're doing it, I mean, it just says to use similar sales, and that's what you do. It's pretty easy, really. But, okay, well, I might give them a call and visit with them about it sometime here. And, but if you guys don't have any more questions for me, I appreciate your time. So.
Thank you. Thank you much, Russ. We appreciate you calling in.
Definitely.
And if you can't find the right name or address, give our assessor's office here a call, too, and they will help you get in contact with the people up at state.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. Thank you much. Bye.
Anything else?
Do you remember where you were at reading?
I'm done.
Oh, you're done.
Except
good.
Except for Walman's and Yowie's.
You were talking about e-energy, though, or something.
E-energy is another one that has put money into their plant up there, but they're still coming back on markets of different e-energies, and they are expanding by quite a bit of money, but they claim it's personal property. So we're going to watch that personal property schedule for next year.
Okay.
So that's kind of, I know that's always kind of an issue.
They did put a building up with that, at least one or two buildings. I know one good-sized building for sure, so that's not personal property.
No, but then they go on the marketability of the, we go through the other parts of the state, and some of them, I'm not sure, are doing as well as Adams are.
Well, then you need to start using the profitability of the plant, too, and other things, too. So, I mean,
there was something, though. We raised e-energy to what they wanted. We were way lower than that last year.
No, we didn't raise them.
We lowered it by about $3 to $4 million last year.
And I thought it was when we
They were at $35 million. They wanted it at this 32 or whatever it was.
Here's the deal on that, though. It's still TIF, so none of the valuation gets to the county board or to the counties or to the, not the county board, the counties or to the schools until the TIF is paid off. And do you know when that will be?
It was 15 years from 2007, so like 2022. However, it's still TIF, but that, and maybe I'm wrong on TIF, my understanding of TIF was that was the original. Some of this stuff that they add, is that still TIF'd?
It's considered excess, yeah. It would be considered excess as far as I know.
It would be above TIF, though, right? I mean, it would be outside of TIF. If they put up a building today, that's outside of TIF. Because otherwise they have to go back and apply for TIF again on that.
You can't TIF a building, I don't think.
You can, a building?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought TIF had to be...
No. I had to put in the base is how it goes into the structure.
There was an article in the paper, and this company had to go back in and apply for TIF on anything they, you know, like 10 years later, they added X number of value.
I thought TIF had to be infrastructure, site work.
Yeah.
I didn't think you could do a building.
When you sit in the meetings with Tobias that one day, it's all interpretation.
It's something to do with bonds and all of that. I'll be honest. It's city, and I don't understand a lot of it, but I handle the bookkeeping part of it. But we're planning on seeing a bunch of valuation come in on the personal property schedule is what Daryl said. So,
But Daryl, when we visited the one time where I did with Daryl, he seemed to be knowledgeable on it, and I'm assuming he would be.
And he's willing to take some of this that's interpretation to Turk, but there again, it costs money to take these two things to Turk.
Yeah, but if they put up, let's say they put up two $500,000 buildings for adding on here.
We shouldn't ignore the value.
You shouldn't ignore that increase in value because that's not, that or their TIF all of a sudden what they TIF came up to so many dollars, you know. I mean, basically savings on taxes or whatever. So it's not, I mean, it's not unlimited out there. There was a ceiling on the TIF.
And I think you may want to visit with him at some point. I was hoping he could be here today. That would have helped. But he was at a Turk hearing, so, and he wondered if you guys would have another meeting date. And I said, well, you didn't have one planned, so that was the problem.
If he's here one of these days or whatever when we have an equalization
going
board,
forward, yeah.
Would like him to come and we could visit about that.
Because I think he has had a hard time with this TIF stuff too, some of the
interpretation of it. And that's what you read articles, state senators, when the state senators came up with TIF, it's getting interpreted completely different now, and everybody's bending the rules like crazy.
I know. Yeah. And we're coming with some more coming here shortly.
So if he's if you know he's going to be here sometime on our Wednesday meeting, if you could have him bring in and let's I think so we all had a little better understanding of TIF. Be great.
Okay.
00152 9000 Russell Wallman 324 950
No, we hit the vote.
We're on a different sheet there.
Oh,
yeah.
Darn it. We can't
you were done, and we were just discussing, and I thought there was one more
Terry,
property.
I was just going to try to sneak those in. And
nope, you're good.
Was there anything else we were going to visit about besides those two properties? If not, entertain them.
Gibbert, I think, was
Larry
the question.
Gibbert. Oh, you had a...
You explained that, didn't you?
I answered that one.
You, acres you changed on.
I might indicate, too, that he had appraisals, two binders of appraisals, but they were 16 appraisals, these themselves that are current.
Oh.
Larry did.
Okay.
So we explained that to him. Yeah. I think, yeah. So we explained that. But we did recount acres based on taking some out of dry to grass, right?
Dry to grass.
Because that one that was a no change actually increased from last year because he had alfalfa on there. We didn't have any alfalfa on it, so.
Okay, any more questions on it? There was an entertaining motion to approve all the changes as read into the record.
Move to approve all the changes as read.
Second. Motion by Thiemann, seconded by Juergens. Vote 5-0 in favor. Now we need to go back and pick up on the no change. We need to do read into the Russell Wallman's ones and the Yowie ones.
I get stopped again and have no second. 00152 9000 Russell Wallman 324,950 no change. 00161 4000 Russell Wallman 129,360 no change. 00164 9300 Russell Wallman 175,030 no change. 00166 7100 Russell Wallman 479,890 no change. 00152 4100 Russell Wallman 545,965 no change. 00159 8000 Elizabeth Yowie by Russell Wallman 285,560 no change. 00576 0000 Elizabeth Yowie by Russell Wallman 632,820 no change. 00159 9100 Elizabeth Yowie by Russell Wallman 294,405 no change. 00160 1000 Elizabeth Yowie by Russell Wallman 373,315 no change. 00160 2000 Elizabeth Yowie by Russell Wallman 297,030 no change.
Entertain a motion to approve those 10 no changes.
Make a motion to approve the 10 no changes Eric just read in.
Second.
Motion by Juergens, second by Thiemann. Vote 5-0 in favor. Anything else, Patty? Otherwise, we are done.
That's all.
Patty, what were you saying about the 14th?
No. You guys left me hanging with no second twice.
We did. What'd you move that we did in second?
I don't remember.
Where are you going to?
125,000 value, or 120 or something, and then they come up with 140, yeah.
Your turn to buy.
No, I came up with 140, no one has seconded, and then he said 140, and then right away
we didn't second. But you spoke before that attorney did, see?
Yeah.
You jumped again.
A little bit of a bill.
Oh, at 3:59 on the clock, we are adjourned.